You brought beer that we can't drink now.
I know, I'm sorry. I got greedy. But I did bring beer chips you can sample. I have no fucking clue what they taste like. And you can't
drink that?
I don't think he'd want to.
You could... I don't know the last time I had Miller. But,
all right. I can suck like a 12-pack of these down in just a couple hours, so I figured...
And I've seen you drink Schlitz.
That's because it's ironically shitty.
I can't turn off the sound of this thing.
Isn't Schlitz not shitty anymore?
I don't know.
Schlitz was the king. It and Budweiser battled for a long time because Schlitz was actually good. Mm-hmm. And then it was like a Coke-Pepsi thing, like head-to-head. And then Budweiser would be more popular than Schlitz, than Bud, than Schlitz, than Bud, than Schlitz. And then finally Bud was on top for good.
Well, and then the company, it's you're going into the selling, right?
Well, even before that. But yeah, because then the owner of the company died, and like his replacements, even before selling it, or maybe after selling, but it tied in with the selling. No, it was before selling, because they destroyed it.
They changed the recipe to make it cheaper to make.
Exactly. If they couldn't be the best, they would be the most profitable, and they did that by becoming the shittiest, cheapest beer possible. Mm. Like, that takes, like, you know, a month to ferment, because, you know, even crappy American lagers need that time.
Yeah.
The Schlitz, they put chemicals and stuff into it, so it would ferment in, like, 4 days. And so there'd be, like, stuff floating in it just from the globs. It was just monstrous.
Yeah.
But then they sold it, 3 or 4 times, and it finally got sold, ironically enough, to Anheuser-Busch, the people who killed him.
Yeah.
And then they brought back the original classic formula, which was a good formula back in the day.
I've been challenged. Speaking of shitty beers, I've been challenged to buy the Costco beer and bring it to War Machine Weekend, hand it out. It's like $10 for 48 cans of shitty Kirkland beer.
Walgreens came out with their own brand of beer like last year. That was like a 6-pack for $1. It was
that's pretty rough. Oh. I think the lowest I've gone on like the cheap shitty beer run is like Hams. Hams is probably the lowest I've dipped. Steel Reserve maybe.
If I owned a van, I would bring a keg of something New Glarus to War Machine Weekend.
I thought about bringing a couple sampler packs because fancy enough they
Definitely bring sampler packs.
Yeah, because they like give that. They have that like 12-pack thing, and like Costco has like a massive liquor section, and it's amazing. But like you get them for, I think they're normally like $16 in the real world.
Yeah.
But in Costco, they're only like $12 or $11.
Yeah.
So I was just gonna bring a couple of those.
I mean, between Andy and I, and apparently you, there's gonna be Spotted Cow and two women there in bottles. You know, a couple dozen each, maybe.
Yeah, and a cooler full of Kirkland beer.
Yeah. But I was just gonna straight up get like a quarter barrel or whatever, and just bring that thing down.
Yeah, that'd be pretty legit. I mean, I probably could fit it in my car. Van.
I could probably just put it in the back. I got a torch. They're pretty big, but
I know I'm just carpooling. Yeah, I'm just bringing Ethan with me, Ethan and Amanda, so the rest, it's either clothing or beer or minis, even though I'm probably only going to bring like 3 or 4 lists.
So you bring the quarter barrel.
I could.
Just set it up in the hall and be the most popular people.
Yeah, I could. I'd strap it to my back.
You could be the keg bearer.
I could be the keg bearer. Could I walk around in nothing but a loincloth for the rest of War Machine Weekend?
I won't stop it if you bring beer.
Yeah. Well, we got an airbrush. We could paint you blue.
Yeah, we could.
Paint abs on him.
Yeah, that'd be pretty intense. There'd be one big
And man's
ab.
Got some jiggly abs.
It's his muscles rippling.
That's how much I can control it. I can flex on the lower side.
When they make the boobs bounce.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Same difference, the
truffle
whatever.
Shuffle with a keg.
Yeah.
And welcome to episode 131 of the Crippled System Podcast.
That's a palindrome.
It is.
Not the whole thing, just the 131 part.
Just 1-3-1.
Yeah, no, just the number.
So you didn't answer my question on whether you left the dank fest that was Buffalo Wild Wings last night.
No, we stayed and watched the main event.
Did the smell drift away?
Yeah, it did. It did. Or we got used to it, but I didn't eat anything else either, so it did not affect me.
Those guys had some stanky Chiba.
Holy cow. Yeah. Yeah, we made a bad decision to go watch the UFC event last night after. It wasn't really to go watch the UFC event. It was happening to go eat at the same time.
It just happened, yeah. And then Weed Fest 2015 happened, and then it seemed like some homecoming thing ended up getting done with too. So
yeah, when Brian and I left, and then a whole bunch of like 14-year-old girls were going into the BW3 wearing skirts that should not have been allowed outside the house in.
Yeah,
we were very confused.
Why didn't you come back in then?
We both looked at each other and were like, this is a dangerous.
This is a recipe for disaster.
This is a whole bunch of scantily dressed underage girls going into a bar. We're going home.
Yeah. I own my car. Oh, man. This is a good time.
So, okay. My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
My name is Brian.
Yay.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any announcements. Well,
GameHoleCon's coming up, so we can announce that.
Still coming up.
GameHoleCon.
Well, their pre-registering is going to end in like 2 weeks. So I think it's October
15th.
There's a teen number in there. And then and that's when it stops. So you got to, if you're going to try and get in while it's cheap, I think it's what, $45 for pre-registration and $65 after?
So save yourself the $20 maybe if you're guessing right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if I'm guessing right. But then, like, the War Machine events are, like, $5 each, I'm pretty sure. And Rick's giving away a bunch of cool stuff.
He's giving away a couple of armies on Saturday.
Yeah.
That I know.
Did we confirm whether or not we could actually just bring a beer cooler in there? Is it one of those places where you can't bring your own shit because they sell it there?
I don't know, but if you have... I assume if you have maybe like a cooler backpack or something like that, they're not going to search something like that.
Yeah, I'll just bring
a camelback full of scotch.
Yeah, bring up
like Tulsi.
Huh?
Was it Tulsi that had like a whole? He had a camelback that was filled with wine. I think it was.
Works for me.
I think it was at Adepticon like a couple of years ago. He had a full camelback filled with wine.
I could fill one of those with the pre-mixed Long Island iced tea stuff that Captain Morgan. Oh, stuff's so good. Oh, it tastes
you could
like
end
happiness.
Up in a coma, or you could have the sour Irishman I was drinking last night.
That thing that when I first tried it, it seemed like that was some dangerous juice, and then I think the second time you said it was a little more spunky. I wish I would have tried the spunky one, but that stuff seemed like it was lime Kool-Aid. Get drunk off of that easy.
Yeah.
We just got done with the last six pack.
So they won't have to hear us talk about that for another 3 years.
Maybe next year we'll have something talking about it.
But not six packs.
Well,
the six packs, we've pretty much had a six pack every 3 years.
Correct.
And yeah, so I think the six pack will be another hiatus. Because it takes Brian that long to recover and admit that he'll ever run an event again.
Well, Travis and I were talking about doing something maybe next year.
Yeah, Travis seemed to have a big boner over trying to make another six-pack happen. I'd be all for it, especially if you guys were thinking about doing like a regional one where you're like jumping around. That'd be cool.
We were talking about...
I thought the thing we were talking about wasn't a six-pack and wasn't supposed to be talked about.
Well, that now you're getting into territory that we shouldn't be talking about. But Travis and I had been talking about doing maybe a six pack that had
three in
Madison and three in like Milwaukee, Waukesha.
Yeah, when I say regional, I mean like in Wisconsin, you're jumping around to the other stores.
We've talked about that for a while. I mean, about having one. And even if it was like, you know, first one here and then what would it then be like? Milwaukee, Minnesota, Iowa.
No, it's just Chicago. Still be Wisconsin.
And then like the last one, like, you know, just the surrounding things and just have a bookend. But I mean, this is similar to that. But.
Yeah. We were talking about that. There's other things we were talking about too that we can't talk about.
Right.
Fight Club.
It might have something to do with the teenage girls who went into Buffalo Wild Wings.
It does not.
It does not have anything to do with that.
Okay, so it doesn't. It was just
For fear of perjury. Wait,
for perjury? No, I think you mean. I hope you mean Fifth Amendment, because if you say if it's perjury, I got in trouble for this last time. So I'll stress that anytime I talk about teenage girls wearing way too small of clothing, that's as a horrified parent, not as a horny guy.
Yep, Andy's just got his 40K goggles on and purge the heretics and all that jazz.
I don't think that's what he meant.
No, I understand.
No,
I'm
something about testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Testies?
Yes. So Blitz in Melbourne is on in Melbourne, Australia this weekend.
Yeah, Blitz.
Yeah.
I assume that's a thing.
I assume it's not an event, as in, like, they're going to go Blitz somebody. I assume that it's a tournament of some sort.
Or maybe they
go and get blitzed.
They're Australians. They're always blitzed.
That is
like
true.
A favorite pastime there.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I am disappointed to discover from you yesterday that you have not seen Grabbers.
Oh my God, yeah, I have not seen Grabbers.
And he comes up and he's like, there's this movie I found out about, but he shows it's Grabbers. I'm like, of course I've seen Grabbers like two, three times. It's Grabbers. I've
never seen it, never heard of it until, and then somebody pointed out to me what the plot of that movie is. And I'm like, I need to see this.
I would be so not screwed in that scenario. I'd be like the best person ever.
Yeah, just like some kind of monster invasion of all the places, Ireland.
Yeah.
And the monsters are allergic to people that are drunk.
Yeah.
Which is 90% of Ireland's population, like, I mean, really.
It seems like that if they're aliens or if they're just monsters, I assume, right? Not aliens?
They're undersea monsters.
Okay,
things.
So yeah, undersea monsters. The ocean. Okay. Well, so it's not the same thing as the aliens that landed on our planet in Signs that are like, oh shit, there's water everywhere.
Right. No, these are like squid monsters come up Cthulhu style. We are being told that Blitz is a 50-point ADR attorney. I like ADR.
I really wish there was at least one in the six pack that was like Masters style where we could have had ADR. But it is what it is.
Yeah, Brian's the one who came up with all the formats for it, so.
And
we ran the ADR before that.
Yeah, we've had a few in Madison, but not with the new season.
Not with new season, yeah. Because the new season started in July.
Yeah, July was when it kicked. I'm so excited to try out the ADR at Game Hole Con. I think that's what I'll probably do. The troll ADR's got Epic Borka, P. Madrak, P. Grimm, and P. or not P, I guess just plain old Kalandra.
And it may or may not have Borka 3, depending on when he comes out.
Doomshaper 3.
Borka 3.
Borka
3. Well,
Borka
may 3. or may not have Borka 3
Yeah,
as
they
well.
Need to correct that mistake, yep.
He's going to be riding a bear that's going to be towing a trailer for kegs.
If that's the only way they'll be able to restore my faith in Borka, like, that guy needs to be drunk all the time.
I have seen legit success with Borka
2. I'm not saying that he's not successful, that he's not good. I really love it, and I have a really good list for him that I'm going to try out. But I really miss the drunken nature of him. Like, at least if they had something in there. But I guess it sends a good message that Borka doesn't drink and ride. So I guess that's something.
I assume the bear is drunk.
It could be. Maybe that's the only way you could get on it.
Yeah. I still go back to that. That is actually Epic Lug.
Yeah. I know. They've really missed the boat on that one.
Yep, that's Epic Lug with just Borka.
But then you wouldn't be able to get that like weird interplay, because like playing with Brun and Lug in an Epic Borka list is actually pretty synergistic, because he is immune to cold too. So
he's not allowed in that list, is he?
He is.
Oh yeah, well, no, he plays for trolls. Correct.
Not in the theme though, he's not allowed. But I mean, like, it's an interesting interaction you get between the two. I've seen some people try it, but like, Borka just wants so many points for his battle group that it gets kind of hard to do it.
Yeah. On the other hand, Brun and Lug.
Yeah. Well, I really want to get those guys, so I haven't given it a shot, but I really want to try it.
Yeah, all four of those. Are there only four?
There's four.
I want to make sure I'm not bad-mouthing somebody, but they're all good.
Yeah, I played Dahlia and Scarith for the first time in lacrosse. I was just like, oh, well, I haven't played it, so how bad can it be? That is fucking amazing. Like, she is really, really fun.
She's difficult for people. Like, Butcher hates her with such a passion.
Warcaster units have a hilarious screw-over against her, yeah.
She was a blast to play, and I use Wrong Eye and Snapjaw all the time. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I like the most about Wrong Eye and Snapjaw is that you can increase his battle group, and it's actually, like, good. Like, you can put the Bull Snapper in there, and it's fine and dandy. But, like, with Rorschenbrine, I really don't see a whole lot of adding to that. Maybe when...
Oh, Splatterbore Animus.
The Splatterbores come out.
Splatterbore Animus.
Then maybe you might be able to see some additions to his battle group, but Dahlia and Scarif will never get anything special, and neither will Brunblug.
No, I think like the Bull Snapper douchiness with Wrong Eye being a mercenary and getting the spiny growth onto things, the Splatterbore Animus in mercenary lists, I think, could be really, really legit.
It could be. Maybe we'll see some more Rorschenbrine hanging around.
Yeah.
Rorschenbrine are actually really legitimate as well, but you rarely see them out there.
Yeah.
Usually it's mostly... I think probably the most used one is Wrong Eye and Snapjaw.
I almost never put Rorschenbrine in my lists, and I'm always depressed that I don't put them in my list because I love them and they're good. So I don't know why I don't necessarily put them in my list. I think there's just so much stuff that pig lists kind of go to first. Like, I need this, and I need Brigands, and I need Slaughterhouse, and then I run out of points, and there's no room for Rorschenbrine, and that always makes me sad.
Nine points is kind of hard to fit in, especially most of the time when you have that big chunk of points that's going into something that's going to fuel your caster for your entire game.
Right.
And removing one of those fuel points really hurts.
Yeah, right? You need to try and get work out of that 9 points. And, like, I know, like, Wrongeye and Snapjaw gets whored out all the time to Crix because he does so much work with Crix. He, like, gets more than 9 points back easily with especially, like, P. Denegra. So, but Rorschenbrine, I don't see anybody really, like, abusing them enough to get more points than what he's worth.
And he's... They're really shenanigan-y when you know how to use them with things like Diversionary Tactic and Sui. Like, they can get all over the place.
Yeah, when I do see Rorschenbrine, I do want to take out Brine as soon as I can, just because I don't like having to work around any of his garbage.
Part of the issue, I think, is that Wrongeye and Snapjaw, because of Submerge, are super survivable. Rorsch has Dig In, which is nice, and so he's kind of survivable, but Brine is just like a 12-18 beast out there hanging in the wind, and you're just going to shoot him off the table, and then he's sad.
Well, and that's an interesting assessment, because if you look at Wrongeye and Snapjaw played a lot because they're survivable, and then Dahlia and Scarith played moderately a good amount because she's super survivable, but like Brunn and Lug, he has like flank. I think he has flank with the beast, doesn't he? So it's like he wants to get up there and in the business too, so like... If you're going to do a trade with Brunn and Lug, that trade's going to lose you that entire module, whereas like you really don't want to do that. You want to get up and stay up on Brunn and Lug, so that's why he's stuck on the flank doing nothing.
And Brunn's super survivable, but Lug isn't. And then when Lug dies, Brunn isn't scary anymore.
Exactly. He's just nothing. He's just a little dwarf running around with a pickaxe.
On the other hand, if he's a warcaster, he's pretty damn awesome.
Bankrupt as warcasters, Brunn is really good, because a manhunter that takes one die less damage and can boost attack and damage rolls and camp armor is pretty good.
Yeah. And speaking of who's the boss, there is going to be a who's the boss in December. Not 100% sure where it's going to be, but there will be a charity who's the boss in December, preferably located in a place that serves alcohol.
That'd be really good. I was gonna offer up Baraboo as a chance, as a possibility for that, just because it's a massive store. But no, there's no booze happening there. They try to do the it pisses me off because they do the wine walk. They'll buy a temporary liquor license for that, but they won't do it for any event. It really irks me off because I hate wine walks. I think they're stupid. Ban the wine walk.
I wrote six pack down. We should talk about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have to scribble it out, and I already scribbled something out. I don't want to have to do it again.
What did you scribble out?
I scribbled out UFC and beer, because we barely talked about them.
It didn't really...
That's why I scribbled them out.
Yeah. It wasn't really much of a subject. You shouldn't even wrote it down in the first place.
I write down as
time
we're talking.
Timestamps are important, Andy.
I don't want to forget something. I'd rather scribble something out after I determined that it was not talked about very much.
Yeah, because you never know where it's going to, like, how much we're going to expound on that that topic. But the six.
You
pack.
Gave me a job. Don't tell me how to do it.
Yeah,
do it.
Do I'm it. Gonna write Andy Goats fucks himself down as a timestamp.
I'm the one who transcribes it to the internet, so I'll probably leave that part out.
Tyrant.
Yeah. You got to have some journalistic integrity, joke. Andy.
Six pack.
Yeah, six pack.
Two of us got plaques.
Yes, I think that's a high five for you folks. We didn't slap
Fuck
dicks.
You guys.
I worked hard for mine.
I didn't even play in any of them. I couldn't.
If you could, yeah.
You played
if you
some would've. Of them, didn't
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
None of them?
None of one. No.
No, I missed the first one because I was...
You were at a concert, weren't you?
Yeah, I was at Rockin' the Range. And then I helped Brian run all the rest of them because they're all pretty... Especially with trying to get that time period of fitting in 5 rounds in a single day. I don't think Brian could have did it.
We didn't have less than 30 people for any of them, did we? Maybe
the escalation one had.
Yeah, that one seemed like it kind of had a mixed response.
I know that a lot of people were just doing other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Rikio Rumble was that weekend, I believe.
Amanda's birthday. So
some people there. Amanda's birthday. Obviously, a lot of us missed it for that.
Yeah.
Was that the weekend I went up to the
it was,
Minnesota?
Because I tried to convince her that she'd be able to auto-coin if she went. And I was like, if Dathan is going to be there, you can basically auto-coin anyways. Just like pull your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
But
I like the time that... No, because that was the week... The time before, she was going to come and actually fight me for it, and I ended up having zero wins that event.
Yeah, so you guys tied for best of,
we tied really? For best, even though she wasn't there.
Oh, man. No, I the six-pack was awesome. We had a...
Re-wedded isn't a word, Andy.
We had, what, 40-ish people?
For when? What?
At this last one, the very last... Who's the Boss six-pack event.
This last six-pack, we had 34.
Okay, I thought it looked like it was over 40, but it was a good time. I think Jordan B. took best overall. He took best war machine.
Jordan Bourgeois
was
the best of the six-pack.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He got all the points. He worked real hard throwing a fuck-ton of Doomravers at people.
Yeah.
Or alternately throwing a fuck-ton of Pikemen at people.
And people give me shit for playing runes in EE.
I give Jordan the most shit of anyone on the planet.
I guess maybe it's just become background noise since it happens so much, but I just never hear it.
We've been giving him shit about playing kind of the janky lists for a long time. Whatever faction he's going into, he plays the janky lists. Like, guess what two things he wants to play when he gets into trolls?
Runes and EE.
No, not runes.
He's behind the times on half of it.
Is he more like Madrak and EE?
Nope. Or?
EE and Family Reunion.
Oh, Family Reunion's not bad, but just didn't have the tricks, like...
Because Warders came out, and then everybody forgot about it.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I could talk a lot about Family Reunion because I really like it as a list. It just takes a lot of finesse to play it and play it to that kind of effect.
It's honestly... It's a theme, but it doesn't have... how would I say it? It's a poor man's version of Meat Mountain.
Well, the thing is like, the problem with Family Reunion is, number one, you don't get Mulg, and that's a big loss to having a big armor list that wants to hit hard.
Because survivability is not really worth anything if you can't hit hard back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, so his battle group is usually going to be small, especially since he doesn't have spells that really affect his battle group. See, I've played Family Reunion list at 50 points where I take one beast just so I can get the 4-5 fury that I want, because I know I can tap the keg. And at that point, you're really leaning on all those medium-based infantry a lot to do work. And as soon as people start teasing it apart, it's really easy to lose momentum in the game.
But you got all those champs.
The champs are good, but they don't get where they want to. You've got the one, like, Scaldy unit, and that's usually going to be a minimum unit just because of points. But, and because basically you're trying to get your opponent to focus on the Scaldy unit so they forget the big units, but... Family Reunion is really good.
No, what are you doing? No,
I'm opening the right end.
I'm not opening them.
All right.
I'm just tilting them up so people can read what they say.
Oh, they're showing off our
the
beer chips I found at a Costco. And before you say I like beer cheese too, they're not beer cheese chips. They're just beer chips. They're made with beer and they're kettle cooked. So I'm really interested in trying these. I figured I'm either gonna like them a lot or vomit immediately.
Well, that seems like a thing to be filmed.
Yeah, maybe.
A good thing we have a camera.
Yeah. Good thing we have a camera. I left my Kindle downstairs.
Yeah, at any rate...
No, it's in front of Catbug.
We had that, and then there were a ton of prizes given away. Like, we gave away a Menoth all-in-one box. I think it was...
Plaques for...
$225 in gift certificates for the store we were at.
Yep.
There were plaques for every single... faction as best of the entirety of the six pack.
I like if there were any PP staffers there, they would have been a little infuriated, because I know it's a pet peeve, at least of the ones who take it more seriously, was that Brian, the plaques had best of Convergence, best of Circle, best of Legion.
Yeah, they didn't say the full name of the faction.
Retribution. Well, no, that's fine. Note that those are all blank of insert god name here,
yeah.
And it's the thing. The Legion, the Retribution, the Convergence, the Protect... No, and that was it. It was the Retribution, yeah, and then best of Menoth.
Yeah.
And that infuriates a good chunk of the staffers, because they're like, they aren't Menoth. Menoth's a god they worship. Best they're protector. The Protectorate.
Yeah.
And he got all the other ones right, and he even told me he noticed it and then just decided he didn't care.
Yeah, that gets me too. When I'm taking people's... factions, or when I'm taking people's list results for games, and I hear them say, like, what faction are you playing? Menoth. I'm like, playing.
So few people say, oh, what's your Protectorate drop? You know, they say it's Menoth drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Menoth drop is just stinky. So.
Ha! But the other one's, Beatnik likes my shirt. Say, but yeah, because you don't do that for the other ones. You don't really say Everblight. Nobody says Syrah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever the fuck the retribution is retributing.
Retribution of Syrah, I think it is.
But whatever, people don't say the god name. They don't say
Cirrus.
Cirrus, you'll hear occasionally, but rarely. Just like you rarely hear people say Everblight. They pretty much all say Legion.
Well, in true,
I say Everblight a lot.
So few people say actually Trollbloods. I mean, like it's nitpicky, but they're not trolls. They're Trollbloods. The beasts are trolls, but the entirety of the faction is united under the Trollbloods.
True-ish. They're troll kin.
Well, there's troll... All troll kin are Trollbloods. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah, the Trollblood faction is made up of troll kin and trolls.
Yeah.
And pigs.
So they're all Trollblood.
Whelps.
I'm pretty sure that's... I don't know. Someone can Fluffy correct me, but I'm pretty sure I got the troll kin are separate from the troll beasts.
I'm just going through my head and make sure there's no random non-troll blood faction members of troll blood.
Well, Gudrun's de facto.
De facto's one thing. He's not friendly faction, you know.
In Family Reunion he is.
That's true. In Family Reunion he is.
Which is what's so shitty about not being able to put a Felcaller in that list. It's the one time he would be good.
What? Gudrun bad? I never.
Just revel him. Get him back up.
How is he in like every one of my two list pairs and I never bring Rorsch and Brine? Like something psychotic in my head.
You have Gudrun in your two list pairs?
Pretty much always. Because I'm always hopeful.
He's like he's a third of their points.
I'm always hopeful that this will be the time that my Matt 50 billion Reach Berserker model charges and doesn't miss the first defense 12 infantry model in the huddle. And he always fucking misses every time. Because Gudrun sucks balls. That pile of crap.
Yeah. And do we want to, like, while we're at, I was going to bring up the other, Ogryn solo, but... I think we're disclaimering that we're not talking about spoilers.
Are we saving it all for last week, or do we want to do like just general feelings without stats or anything?
Well, I mean, we could. I'd like to go have us actually page through the book next week and actually go through it that way.
Okay.
I mean, because technically, yeah, the spoilers are pretty much, most of them are confirmed.
I'll just say my general impression is that Minions won the book. And by proxy, depending on which is the best of the Minions things, the factions that can take those things... Like, everybody knows the Croak Raiders have been out, so that's not a spoiler. Like, Croak Raiders are fucking amazing.
Yeah, they've really revolutionized your Minion drop into your list.
Yeah, I would say Minions
did really well.
Minions as a faction definitely won the book, but in just the releases, I think Trolls took this one home.
What do you mean?
Like, if you look at it in the vacuum of just the releases that are in the book, like, the Trolls kind of have, like, the most solid releases as just the models are. But, like, the releases for Minions seem to, like, bolster the Minions faction a lot. You know what I mean?
You're going to compare the Pig Lights to that UA that you were just foaming at the mouth about yesterday?
Okay, and we'll discredit that. But being able to heal things, getting the Glacier King and Doomshaper 3 are probably a little bit better.
You quieted the whole table.
No, I did, because I was livid with that. I was like, if they put that slip away shit on that fucking pygmy UA, I am gonna flip and never fucking use it. God damn it, I hate that goddamn UA.
I'm gonna make it a point in if I ever take you on in a match to make you have to use that. Or if you're taking Bushwhackers without the UA, make you wish.
Then you
had
can
it.
Just jam them with like Satixis or something, and then be like, "Yep, that's fine. They can go fuck with them for 2 hours." Because I'm gonna go ahead and actually play the game with real stuff now instead of slip away with my shitty Bushwhackers and their crappy UA. Bushwhackers are good. Don't get me wrong. I like them. I like the laser beam, but I'm paying in the pig UA. You pay 2 points for an extra gun, and that's the only thing I'm going to look at it as.
No, no, double, triple, no, no, no. Even if Slipway sucks, you're getting an extra Bushwhacker gun and a fucking AoE.
But it's like a range 12 AoE, POW 12.
AoE 4.
Okay, whoop-de-dick.
And a plus 2 extra defense for him.
So that Glacier King does that too.
What?
He gives him plus two also.
And this guy gives him another plus two.
Whatever. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's
17
good.
Fucking
what else bushwhackers. In the game has like has that 24-inch reach on them that wants them dead that bad?
What?
They're, if you're taking them in the best possible scenario, it's with Gunnbjorn to snipe them so they go from range 14 to 18, and then they bushwhack at the end to move another 6 inches, so it's 24 inches.
But you know what's
for nicer? Them to start fucking with you.
What's nicer is sniping your highwaymen and not sniping them so that they're both long threat range, and then it's only like 20 inches.
Well, that's when you get into the mid game, but when you're first starting off before the first engagement has happened, a 24 inch threat on a laser beam from the bushwhackers is really good. Yeah. But when are they going to run up. In? Then you have to go
they're
like,
gonna tied
then
up
the
by
highwaymen are going to be in the middle, and then the pig bushwhackers are going to be in the back, and your slip away UA is going to be a piece of shit.
But they're going to get bushwhacked in by bog trogs who are going to run and engage them, and you're going to be like, why don't I have slip away?
I know. I don't know. There will never be a point when I'm playing that game where I say, oh man, I wish I had slip away right now so bad.
Ah, Gunny Tier Force.
I've been playing them Beam in Force. Tier 4. That's what I've been doing with the Glacier.
Yeah, but they'll have camouflage in the trench.
Yes, they'll even fence like 20.
Yeah.
And then you don't that bushwhack away thing doesn't work because you want to stay in the trench.
But they're taking something that like
and he's lobbing mortars
out
of the trench.
Fix the problems with the pygmy bushwhackers. Like the pygmy bushwhackers didn't have a problem surviving because nobody gave a shit to kill them. I mean, and what else? They somebody's gonna drift an AoE on them, and then they're gonna die anyways, and all that defense doesn't matter for shit.
Doesn't it though?
No, not a bit.
Doesn't
a Winter Guard mortar crew could annihilate the entire unit.
I didn't realize.
So AoEs are good?
And when you've got high defense guys, yeah.
Okay. So, like, for example, if a 2-point UA gave you an extra UA, an extra AoE 4 in your list, that would
no,
be good?
It's not that good because you've got Gunnbjorn taking them anyways.
Oh my god, a 16-inch AoE 4?
Your caster boom, comes with one for boom. Free.
So you're getting another one! Gunnbjorn, you are doubling the AoE offensive output. Plus adding a bunch of extra stuff for 2 points.
I'm going to live in my world where slipway is a piece of shit on
pygmies. You can
pygmies.
Do that.
Yep. If it was on bushwhackers too, or not bushwhackers, but if it was on burrowers, then I'd be a little bit more yippy about it. But since it's
bit,
only them.
You'd be a little bit more yippy if slipway was
maybe
on
I'd be really happy if it was on them. Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, think of the logistics of them dragging around a mortar inside a tunnel.
It's great.
Yeah, it is. They just shoot it up to pop out of their holes. You don't need to worry about the shovels.
Range 16 AoE 4. That's worth 2 points by itself.
But then you're taking... Never mind. I don't think so.
Sitting in a trench, lobbing AoEs, lobbing a 20-inch laser beam.
Even
that's good
then,
shit.
It's cheaper than their little cannon itself, too.
Yeah.
The Thumper? Yeah, the Thumper's 3 points, but...
Yeah. Is it only AoE 3 as well?
Thumper doesn't have an AoE.
Oh, no, it's Thumper's just a straight shot. Yeah.
That's slam, even depending on
yeah.
what you hit.
Yeah, slam knockdown deal.
Momentum.
No, I'm not a fan. I'll still buy it because I'm a fanboy of craziness when it comes to trolls, but I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it.
Just fill up AoE fours. All take two Thumpers, take that UA.
And he doesn't have light artillery either, right?
What's that?
Does the UA have the light artillery rule?
I don't. Maybe he can move with them. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll have to look at it again. But when I saw the slip away, I kind of just like I checked out. I was like, that should have just not been on them. Mm-hmm. It should have been something else.
I can see why you think they got all the best models in the book.
Well, no, it's not. Everything they got was the best. But like, you can't tell me that the Glacier King, Doomshaper 3, and the Helin Hose are not as good, if not better, of a release than what the two beasts that pigs got.
I think you can throw in all your Glacier King. Your Glacier King takes such a dirt nap when like 10 battle boars charge it.
That's like, oh man, I got a pee too. I didn't want to leave you here on your own.
That's
now.
Fine. You can go. There's a toilet
no,
up here.
No, it's all right. I'm just gonna keep on bitching about stuff, but I think when
I'm
you throw in
pigs,
I think when you throw in the Gator Arc node, then I think you can really make an argument for minions taking the cake on that one.
The Gator Arc node is the worst thing they got.
It's the worst thing, but it really opens up a lot of space for a lot of casters. Like, people are talking about Caliban, and he was just completely out of the question before. Like, you'd never talk about him.
Also, I got a three-point UA that gives three janky things.
Yeah, I know. You're Brigand hero of heartache.
Yeah, but he somehow manages to be heartache and an auto-include at the same time.
I know, yeah. It's one of those things where it's like the Winter Guard UA. It doesn't bring as much, like, amazement to the unit, but you probably won't see Brigands without him anymore.
Gang is so good.
Yeah.
Gang is so good.
Well, and
so
he's one of those interesting UAs that kind of has, like, he wears two different hats, where people will say, like, Prowl and Reform don't, like, make sense together.
Fuck those. It's Diggin and Reform.
Yeah, Diggin and Reform. Yeah, but the thing is like, yeah. they can function in two different situations.
Whoa, what? Options? What?
Well, and now you've got a guy who actually gives you a cloud, so.
What? Yeah, which is hilarious.
Yeah. So I'll give that minions probably are at the same level of the Trollblood releases, if not just maybe a wee bit higher. Only because Slipaway became the Pig Bushwhackers special order.
Oh my god. I saw those pig lights and I just crapped myself.
I know, I was like, oh, this is really cool. They got what they wanted.
The magical moment of reading the battle boar and be like, well, this guy doesn't seem very rabid so good. Yeah. And then I just pooped and came and it was dangerous and bad but wonderful.
So it's a light war beast with rabid with two initial melee attacks, from what I heard.
And Fury 3.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's
going to be hilarious with Batten and Mobility on him.
Fuck. And Arcadius.
Yeah, either one. Anywhere.
Arcadius, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah. 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 It's good stuff. Makes me happy.
Yeah, I don't need to know anymore. I'm going to be very happy on Wednesday when they actually come in.
Yes.
So I can actually see the book in person.
Yes. I'm looking forward to seeing pictures and fluff and stuff like that. Because that's the one thing spoilers can never give you, is pictures and fluff.
Well, especially the spoilers that we saw, because there was hand-typed out spoilers.
Yes.
By somebody with way too much fucking time on their hands.
Yeah, the transcribed spoilers.
Well,
They probably took a photograph and then copied text from the photograph, whatever it was.
It almost makes me feel like they're spoilers from a playtester, because I guarantee that's the typed out, just boring PDF format that playtesters get stats in. Because it's not like Privateer is going to print cards and mail them to playtesters.
Correct.
Like, that looks like a copy and paste from playtest PDFs.
If that's the case.
It's a random guess. I have no inside proof this is the thing. But that just, to me, when I saw that, that's what it felt like to me. Because remember the playtest format was the same thing. When the playtest came out, it was just boring text like that.
Had anyone heard anything about how, like, this might have been an unexpected leak from Privateer Press's end? Like, they didn't expect that the whole book would basically be spoiled in one day?
Well, the problem is, though, is it gets out to a distributor.
Yeah, that's what I figured, is these probably came from distributors.
Even if it wasn't spoiled this way, what am I trying to say? This could have been a distributor transcribe, like Andy was saying, because it's in the hands of normal Joe Schmoes right now.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of, like, camera photos where, like, somebody takes pictures of a theme list and it's really, like, shaky, where they were like, oh, I hope my boss doesn't catch me. Click.
Yeah. For one thing, it's also, this kind of one of the subjects I wanted to talk about is really, why would you want to risk your job?
Yeah. Your livelihood.
Your livelihood to print out a fucking spoiler. I mean, it's something that's going to be out in a week. What does it really get you personally, other than, you know, like, notoriety of being first?
That's,
I guess,
for a lot of people, that's all they need.
Yeah, I really have a hard time believing that these people who do these leaks are these altruistic people who are like, these people want these rules and I have them, so I'm gonna take my power trip. And it probably turns into a power trip. It's not that they're altruistic, that they're just really trying to be like, look at my dick and all these rules.
It's not like it's, I mean, like a movie or something like that you're going to release out to the public beforehand. I mean, that's, I guess maybe that's different, but I mean, you can't really do anything with the spoilers.
Well, that's fine. They want to feel important.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's anonymous, you know, it doesn't matter. They don't have to go out there and be like, hi, you know, my name's Nathan. Here's the spoilers. Everybody talk about how great I am. That's the secondary thing. You know, like when Trevor and Chili and stuff mm-hmm. are the ones actively tweeting the spoilers, everybody, I mean, that's attention to them. But even the person who's who leaks it to them, even when you do it anonymously, people are still paying attention to you.
Yeah. I guess I would feel, I don't know, I feel sorry for the folks that, you know, in a sense, leak the spoilers to those, the people that are releasing it. Because, I mean, that's potentially their livelihood. If they work for a distributor or somebody like that, they put that person at a risk of, of issues.
There's also a lot of things your job does for you beyond just, like, your livelihood. I mean, like, if these distributors are getting health insurance of some sort, like, you kind of, there's certain jobs where, like, you feel like your job cares about you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why you'd want to just, like, stick it to them with throwing out spoilers when you're violating that kind of
agreement. Violating the street date is basically what you're doing is... And that's a big no-no for a lot of places.
Exactly. And they can't track it back that easily. So it's really just appropriate.
Look at, like, Ain't It Cool News. You know, this whole website, you know, they're not as big now as they used to be in the 90s and whatnot. But for a while, they're the big source for people to get insider information and spoilers about movies that are in filming and stuff. And all it was just random... The guy holding the light, you know, the key grip or whatever, would see them shooting a scene where Snape kills Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. And then he'd go and go, hey, so there's a movie coming up and Snape kills Dumbledore. And he's anonymous, you know. Yeah. And he doesn't gain anything by putting that information out there, but he feels important and cool. And,
did we put out Zappities, human by nature. The way, for some reason? I'm just reminded
of it. We did, but I don't.
My phone vibrated a few times. I can put it on the table so we can all hear when it vibrates.
No. Still just want to flop a We need to have the vibrator episode.
No.
I saw a vibrator race online.
That would be pretty legit.
Yeah, no, there was a board at a 45 degree angle or whatever, and it had... walls, you know, so there were columns going down it, and they just had a vibrator at the top of each, and they turned them all on, and they just pulled out the fence, and they just vibrated their way down the board, and people would just bet on which one would get to the bottom first.
Nice. We could do that, and we could actually put all of our phones at the top there, and just watch it vibrate all the way down, see how many texts we can get before they...
Audience participation. Yeah. You know, we say, hey...
The more calls and text messages you get. Yeah.
We could even, we'll just put all of our phone numbers on the internet.
Oh, we could get...
And so that they could call specific people's phones.
I would just actually put get, all of your get, number.
We could get burners, though. Burners would be okay.
Pansy.
Well, whatever. I mean, like, I prefer... I like my privacy a little bit. Not really. I really don't give a shit. But
I know your number. It's 608. Hold on. It's on my phone.
One of the other things I wanted to say about the six-pack, I just had kind of spaced it out a little bit, but like, I know that a lot of times in these... series events where you're getting coins, because we gave out coins at every event, which is really cool because the coins have kind of phased out of the privateer press world now. And everybody who coined in that event, for the most part, were people who hadn't really coined in the faction before. So there was a lot of push between all of the factions to try and I know a good example was like Ethan took best circle over the whole six pack, but Celeste took best circle of that day.
And that's what I love about the faction coins. And I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or just us having a conversation randomly, but I love the fact that Celeste was in the loser's bracket.
Yep.
She went 3-2 for the day. Mm-hmm. 3-2. She didn't go X and 1. She had 2 losses.
Yeah.
And normally with 2 losses, you're done. Mm-hmm. You're not getting anything. You might get a painted raffle, but that's it. Yep. But with the best of faction coins, she got a fucking prize. And she was best of something. And, you know, on Facebook, I could see her. She was excited.
Yeah,
she was proud. She got a goddamn coin for being the best person there with a faction. And it wasn't a default like all of my convergence coins.
Yeah, there was a fight for it. There were 4 circle players for that
4 people at this tournament, and she beat them for a prize with legitimate skill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about the faction coins. I'm sad just to see the first, second, third coins.
Yeah, because that supports more of like the good player style. Like it supports the players who play the best and not the players who played their faction best. Like when you give out faction coins, you're giving more prizes for more people. It makes them more excited and interested to go. Like I've fought tooth and nail for my third place hero pin because every single tournament I go to, Travis knocks me out of contention for first or second. So I just think it's a bad direction. The pins are cool, and I like that, but I think if they would have done something a little bit more inclusive, it would have been a little bit more interesting.
Generally, the faction coins are only book releases.
Yeah, they do book releases. Yep. So these ones were like all the Exigence and Vengeance coins, I think. Yep. The ones where they took away the cool color and shrunk the coins down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you can see a couple of the old ones up there, but yeah, they're much cooler back then.
Well, in some of those Mark I coins, they had like unique ridges and everything. I'm sure it's like fucking crazy expensive to make those.
The old Hordes ones, they had unique shapes. I do have a Legion up there, I think.
It's like octagonal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it's octagonal. You got the Longest Night thing?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did win that.
You got it on eBay?
No.
I won that bid.
No, I won that fucking thing. God damn it.
I wonder,
hey, that was my scenario.
One possible downside of the faction coins could be if you have like an 8-man tournament and there's nobody playing four of the factions, then it's just, you know, they're kind of wasted coins. So I can see that. You almost think that they could go around that. Would it be too difficult instead of just ordering tournament kits blindly to just, it would be too much trouble. It'd be like the gold cards where you could submit and say, I need, you know, I had this event, these six factions had representatives, so I just need these six coins.
Considering, I don't know if this is general knowledge, but I mean, at least the amount of press gangers out there running events, I think it would be probably too much for them to handle. I mean, just getting press gang orders handled is a chore for 2 months.
Like,
I guess it would, without
all
knowledge,
it is just grabbing at most 12 coins and throwing them in a box and shipping it. And that's already, like, I know that they just do the same, you know, whatever, so it's easy now, but it doesn't seem as hard. Like, with the gold cards that they stopped because it was a massive headache, that's picking out 30 different cards because of your two lists or whatever. But just saying, oh, it's a standard kit, but they didn't have Legion or Trolls, yoink, yoink, and throw it in the mail.
Or you could do, like, a coin exchange program even, too. At that rate, where you take the, like, over a year's time, you take all the coins that you haven't given out and then exchange them for either a new set or some other, like, thing, like the pins for first, third, and second, you know, like that.
Send back extra coins to Privateer Press for...
It seems like an interesting idea.
Yeah. I don't know.
Something to do with them, at least.
The downside with doing it where after the event you submit what you need because of who showed up is that you would have no physical prizes to give out at the event.
Yeah, and I've been around for those, like, where the person didn't get their tournament kit right away.
Sam.
Yeah, and they're like, can I have your address so I can send you this coin? And you're just like, I guess so. But yeah, the award, it kind of takes the mystique out of the award ceremony.
Yeah, when you don't have a prize. Yeah, it kind of sucks, especially if you're driving a long way.
Yeah, it does. But no, I think the pins are interesting, but I just don't think they're in a good direction as far as, like, keeping the local communities, like, thriving. Because, like, sometimes I would go to an event if they had coins specifically because I wanted a coin for the certain faction I was playing. But now it just turns into a regular grind. And if you don't get third, second, or first, you're looking at raffles. And a lot of people don't do that. I think that's really a big Madison thing or a big meta thing or a more worldwide meta thing.
Yeah, I think we'll probably end up seeing Privateer probably go to more of a just pins, maybe even faction pins in the future.
Yeah, faction pins would be good too. Those pins are selling like hotcakes. I've bought the shit out of it. If there's a Chibi Troll or Kador one out there, I'll get it as soon as it drops, except for that fucking Sorsha pin. I need that thing, and I need that the Borka.
Which one, the white Sorsha?
No, the Chibi Sorsha that they came out with at Gen Con. And I need the chibi Borka that they have in that big pack.
The new breakfast cereals, the Crix and Battle Jacks.
Yeah, those are really nice. I like that they're doing some kind of funny things with them too, but those pins are just like, if there's one thing I've noticed about War Machine players, they love collecting weird shit. And man, Privateer Press is good at coming up with weird shit to give you.
So Travis is upset that we said something about Sam, but we weren't actually talking about Travis this time. We were talking about Sam.
I've never... No.
Not actually.
Didn't Travis do it, and that's why we called him Sam?
Yeah, that's exactly the reason why. But we weren't actually referring to Travis at that time when we said Sam.
You know, I haven't been to a Travis event, but I really would like to go to one. I think he always...
They're exactly what you'd expect a Travis event would be like.
Well, I played in Masters at Gen Con.
What? I meant that in a good way. They are well run, and rules are well officiated. And joy is had by all.
I was trying to be nice.
Me too. Piss,
but it's gonna come back to me.
If you assumed I meant that in a bad way, that's Travis. No, Travis, nothing. You can't. I love you.
That doesn't work. I tried it on Andy.
Slipaway's so good on them, though.
Fucking Christ, man. I just started, like, getting out of that funk. I was like, oh, Slipaway. Oh, I'm feeling comfy. I've found that, now if Brian was here, he'd love it because I gave him shit about Mass Effect 3 constantly. If he says Slipaway, I'll just lose my fucking mind.
So, when's your birthday?
I don't want to say.
You got to tell us.
It's on August 12th.
August 12th.
Yeah.
That is in the summertime.
It is in the summertime.
It is perfect to get you a slip and slide.
I don't need that. I'm fat. Like, if I'm on a wet surface, it becomes a slip and slide.
Well, no, I'm just saying to match with your slip away. You know,
no.
So you can, you know.
I have seen the slip and slide beer drinking contest between two teams. Like, you have your row of beer, and then there's a slip and slide, and each team has to go down their slip and slide and then chug the beer. And when you're done with it, the next person comes down. It's like baton racing, but with beer and slip and slides.
I saw that, but they had to do quarters into the beer first.
I didn't see the quarters part of it.
And like they
it.
Had to quarters or beer pong or something, yeah. And then they got to chug it. But yeah, same thing.
It seems like a pretty legit deal.
Hmm.
I know. As far as events are concerned, though, I don't know why this brings me up, but if anybody from Oshkosh listens to this fucking podcast, put on a goddamn event so I can go to Pete's Garage.
Pete's Garage?
It's the best burger place you've ever been to.
I've never been there, so no, it's not.
It will be. If you ever go to Oshkosh with me.
Yeah, have you not been listening to Brian to any of our podcasts where he goes on about Pete's Garage?
So good. It's amazing.
Been to Mooya?
No, guys were going to take us there last night, but then we decided to go to Buffalo fucking Wild Wings.
I was fine with Mooya.
I was fine with it, too. The only problem is I didn't have beer.
Yeah, that was the problem.
It wasn't like the main reason.
I don't think I would
want
to go. I've been to Mooya. I don't really like it. It's like a expensive Five Guys. It's
pretty much the same price as Five Guys.
Five Guys is just
Five Guys is already expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a Five Guys, except you can get cheese on your burger as God intended. It has sweet potato fries, mm-hmm. which are goddamn legitimate. Mm-hmm. And it has milkshakes. I don't like them necessarily better than good French fries, but sweet potato fries are good.
Yeah, I'd try it at least for sure, just because I'm a burger connoisseur.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried. I did have it. It was one of the times that we had the party at the Shays. No, it wasn't at the Shays. It was a party at Brian's. At the Shays were there. So we decided to go out to the Mooya's and... It was okay. It wasn't a bad burger. It was just, it was a really expensive burger for what I got.
These burgers are really expensive.
That's what I felt like Five Guys was. I was like, I paid a pretty decent amount of money for this burger, and it doesn't taste like anything completely like crazy off the wall good. Like, it just tastes like a burger. Like, when I see their like news clippings and they say best in Seattle or best in New York, and I'm like, New York has a lack of innovation because that shit is not good.
Well, the thing is, it's significantly better. Like, it's kind of like with steaks or pizzas or whatever, where you have your three tiers. You know, you have your get it for a buck, your McDonald's, your
McDonald's steak, McSteak,
McDonald's.
They'd be the
and
burger.
Fucking Quick Trip. I went there at 5 o'clock today, and they only had one fucking burger.
Burger at Quick Trip?
Because I was trying to get here quick, so I was like, I need gas.
I've never seen a burger at a...
I need gas, beer, and
a
cheeseburger.
You get the hot dogs on the rollers. You don't get a burger.
I just get a burger because you get two of them for $2 and it's quick, and they only had fucking one.
You get two hot dogs for $2.
God damn it.
Anyway, you got your cheapo dollar ones, like a McDonald's hamburger or a Little Caesars pizza, you know, that are...
Yeah, you got the cheap guys.
They
cheap,
get
quick.
In there, it's good. It's good enough for the buck you
spend. It gets in there and it goes out just as quick.
And then you got your mid-range stuff that's...
Like Culver's.
Good. Yeah, like Culver's. Or I'm even putting, like, well, you got like your mid-range stuff like a Culver's. And I think that Five Guys, and then you've got like your good stuff, like your Iron Chef level, you know, it's the greatest thing you've ever had in your life. And I think Five Guys and Mooya are like in between. They're like two
and
a half of the three.
Yeah, they're very interstitial between the two.
Depending on day-to-day or the specific franchise you go to, it can be in that mid-tier, or you can get a top-tier. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to a good Five Guys, you eat that burger, and you just want to die and go to heaven, because nothing can ever be that good in life again.
That's how I feel about Pete's Garage. Right. And you know what?
And
it
I've
costs
had
half
that
as
before.
Much.
I've been to multiple different Five Guys, and I've had that before, and I've also had, well, this is like a Whopper before.
Yeah.
And you're just never quite sure.
That's what I felt like when I went to the Ram. Over Gen Con and got the gargantuan burger.
And you got rimmed?
Ram.
He got rammed and
the
rammed.
Yeah. Basically, I had to drink that shit water beer they were selling. But
the last time I went to the Ram, when we got there, they were just starting the extended edition of Lord of the Rings Return of the King on their TVs.
Yeah.
When we got our food, it was the Scouring of the Shire.
Yeah, that's...
And
we
the
felt
first
that
food
same...
we got at the table was the ranch dressing that was spilled down somebody's back.
Or no, that wasn't at the Ram we had that happen. That was at Scotty's is where we had the super long wait. And then they were like, I don't know what an MGD is. And I'm like, you poor girl. This is so sad. But...
I don't know what an MGD is.
Yeah, I was surprised. She must have been new and straight edge. I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah.
So you said you had a War Machine topic, kind of.
Did I? No.
You were talking about list building.
No, now you're forcing a subject.
I was just saying, you said I have a topic.
No,
so.
We don't have to force the topic, but you know what? Natural conversation, segue. I was thinking about list building.
Yeah.
So, segue. What was that, Andy?
Oh, yeah. I was talking about... So, I haven't played games in a while. And one of the reasons why I haven't played games in a while is I would open up War Room, and I would just stare at my casters. And for some odd reason, I had no creative juices at all in me to try to make a list.
Mm-hmm.
I had all my lists built previously that have been tried and true. I've done well with those lists, but I wanted to try something new, but I just could not put the puzzle pieces together, and it frustrated me. So I opened up to a request out to Facebook, and I got a couple of folks to send me a list. I think Nigel actually tried trolling me with the list. But I got a couple lists sent from there, and that literally just changed my whole outlook. I suddenly became very invigorated to go down and play on Wednesday, which I did. It was fun.
Yeah, because it seems like when it comes to list building, there are three, to split them up in Nathan fashion, there are three different types of approaches you have to list building. You either carbon copy something that somebody's had success with and you just play that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also creating your own. On the opposite side of the spectrum, there's creating your own list out of nowhere that's just like, this is my brainchild, and I decide to run P. Morvana with a Sacrovault and some bullshit. And then there's the in-between is more like taking someone's list that someone's built and kind of editing it.
And making it your own.
And making it your own, so you're tweaking it a little bit. And sometimes you can do that from like the far stage of like, I feel like taking EE and removing the third Pyre Troll and adding in a fourth Storm Troll is probably the better way to play it, but I just don't feel like committing to buying a fourth fucking Storm Troll. But Slag Trolls I'll have four of. But at any rate, it seems like that's kind of the spectrum it falls into, but I also think that with War Machine, you can get a little bit of stagnant... you can get a stagnant feeling when you're trying to build lists because the releases, you get really excited for them when you hear about them. But by the time they hit the street and you're able to play them in events, because I don't know how many other people are like this, but I don't play a model unless it's released. Because unless I'm like testing it out and I actually have the physical model, like the Glacier King.
Sure.
But I don't feel like there's a reason for me to play it so much when I'm not able to play it in a steamroller like next week or something, you know?
It so, feels odd when you do that, yeah.
And that can kind of be like a cock tease where you get like your Electromancers and you're really excited to see what they do and change the Retribution game. But then 6 or 7 months later down the road, that's when you actually get them and you're like, I've already brainstormed these lists and was excited about them forever ago and now I'm just not excited about them anymore. So I think that's like where a lot of the fatigue comes from in mm-hmm. list building. Plus, like, it seems like there's a whole culture of people who like to try and like play the sus card or the special snowflake people card, where that's kind of like frowned upon in some circles, and I think that can turn some people off. But definitely having other people start some list building like dojo for you and then going into like making it your own, it's really easy to take something someone else has made and make it your own. So I think that what you stumbled upon really like is one of the good ways to break that iceberg.
Yeah. The main thing I don't like doing is I don't like theory crafting. I don't like sitting around talking about like how it sounds counterintuitive for what I'm trying to do here,
right.
But I don't like theory crafting. It's just, we're going to sit there and talk about what lists do good against what lists forever.
Yeah.
I want to just kind of build a list, get down and play
mm-hmm.
and then modify it in my own.
An analogy that came to me one time in the middle of a conversation, and I was very proud of it because it was one of my better analogies. We was talking on the Something Awful forums one time about net teching, mm-hmm. and its place in hobbies like this, and then player skill versus net decking and stuff like that. And
I was going to say something smart about net decking to annoy other people, but I decided not to.
Well, it's Nathan net decking, the real net decking, and not Muse on Mini's net decking, where it's just cock blocking someone.
Oh yeah,
sure. I want to know. I don't listen to Muse.
No, well, that's fine.
I don't listen to podcasts. High quality people stuff. Who listen Ooh. To podcasts.
Ooh, somebody did just notice. Did just say that Catbug Brian likes Mass Effect 3.
He does. I mean, like, that's why we like him. I don't know. He's closer to me now. Seems to
violently disagree.
I don't know. The big reason why Brian sits next to you and Andy, or in between you and Andy instead of between you and me, is because I think he fears going to jail if I mention Mass Effect 3, because he would murder me
if I was accessible. Right about that.
Can I get you a Mass Effect 3 t-shirt, too?
Yeah, if you can find one that fits my fat ass.
Well, you don't wear t-shirts on your ass, Brian.
Well, I mean, my fat ass is a hole.
You just put them on upside down, and balls just dangle through the neck hole.
I know my whole dick does too. Just
this, I mean, it is a video game T-shirt.
Yeah.
So they have. I don't know. Size.
It seems like the XL is like it 5 years ago was like the very pinnacle of how big a gamer shirt would be, or band shirts, and then they said, okay, fat people, double X, here you go. But then it's like. Now I think like a lot of people who want to like represent that stuff are a lot. I don't know. I guess I could go into a long rant about how I think the people who are fat and nerdy probably make a decent amount of money, so they don't mind paying the extra like price tag on the 4X shirt. But you can't fucking get them because people don't make them.
Sure. Anyway, so with net decking and player skill, was that you can look at a list like a recipe. Like a food recipe. And you can go on food.com and you can download Julia Child's recipe for something and you can follow it exactly. And depending on how good of a cook you are, it can turn out terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get creative and make up your own recipe with spices around the house and everything. And depending on how good cook you are, it could turn out amazing. And sometimes you take one that they already have and you experiment and you take out ingredient A and you put in ingredient B. And it's the same way. I mean, it's the list is just that same way. And like you were saying with theory crafting, you know, it's fun exercise to do, but also with recipes, I can theory craft that a pickle and a watermelon in this salad should complement each other when I have them with this grilled salmon. But until you actually try it and put it on the table, ironically true in either case, you don't really know for sure. Yeah. And then once you try it for the first time, then you're like, oh, it needs a little more dill, needs a little less this, needs that. And you can experiment and you can polish it up.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with lists.
Yeah. I guess the main thing I was just really stumped on is I had the two to three casters that I was solid on, and I wanted to expand out. I didn't really have any type of direction to even expand out. Like Ron, I have down. Ron, I can play Ron in my sleep. Sometimes I do.
Well, and sometimes
it's two to like three favorite recipes. You make the same meal every day. Yep. You know, I always make the same grilled cheese and soup for dinner every day, and it gets my tummy full, and that's it. You got no drive to, and then.
Like I don't know. Do I want to put a little pesto in there or something?
And like we were talking about with the thing, is like you say, I eat the same thing for dinner, and you put it out there, and somebody says, well, try doing this, and you do it, and you're like, all right, thanks. You broke me out of my groove, and it gets the creative juices flowing again. You know, it's any creative process. That's going to be the case. You'll stagnate.
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes when you like feel like with you and Ron, where you feel like you've hit your stride with him and you know him really well, sometimes you can get stuck in that rut, I guess, where like, you play him this way, and if you try to modify him at all, you're like, okay, this isn't working. So instead of changing that list, you just go back to what you have normally.
Yeah.
I think it's a big, real big like leap to try and get out of that, going back to the beginning. And you have to keep experiment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because that's a lot of troll casters are that way, where you take XX and X and then season to flavor. There's no real like complete infrastructure change. It's always like you take the skeleton and then you work off of it from there. You might end up with a human skeleton. You might end up with a monkey skeleton. But at the most part, they're still the same thing. They've got a rib cage and skulls and spine.
And sometimes you need to experiment from a different direction. You know, like just now talking on this topic with a previous topic is that, you know, maybe I should stop taking some of my casters right now and seeing what'll work with them, and maybe I should take just Rorschach and Brine.
Yeah.
And see what I can build around them.
Around them, yep.
You know, and if I make them, instead of looking at these casters and saying, well, what does Carver do best? I can look at Rorschach and say, who does the best stuff for him?
Yep.
And build from the opposite direction. You know?
Yeah, building from the top down isn't always the best in War Machine. Sometimes you have to go the other way. I think a lot of people might frame Mulg that way if they're not, and that's probably why Doomshaper always gets Mulg when you're talking about troll players, sure. Because you build from which caster works Mulg the best, and it really is a tie between Doomshaper 1 and 2 now. Now I would kind of say it's more like 2 and 3 might have the upper hand.
It's Doomshaper. Doomshaper yeah. In general.
One doesn't have the affinity, so...
No, he does.
Yeah, oh, but well, he doesn't. They have all trigger it.
They all trigger. Sorry.
Yeah. I was going backwards. Whatever the thing. No, but I guess that's not just Mulg.
He doesn't.
Doomshaper 2's thing where he gets a free Dire Troll Animus.
Yeah, he gets a free Dire Troll.
Yeah, and actually, Mulg isn't even necessarily the best Animus you'd use for that. Although I think Mulg's Animus is underused. Yes. On
because
Warlocks.
He's got the Earthborn Animus on him most of the time.
Not
anyways.
On him, on Warlocks.
Oh, on Warlocks. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Something with a decent command range, like mm-hmm. You know,
like Madrax or Tens.
Yeah.
You know? That's pretty big.
Yeah, you put that thing up and it's like baller.
Yeah, Madrak 1 with Mulg is really scary.
And
when
people
you think
use
about
it so
Runebreaker.
Rarely, I think you could really fuck people over with Runebreaker because they'll be like, wait,
yeah,
what does
Mulg
it do?
Mulg has an Animus, it's not Earthborn.
Yeah, you'll have like Nationals level people there, but like, his Animus does what? I never see it.
His Animus is probably a good where two good points of him come from.
Yeah.
I use his Animus a pretty decent deal too. Mm-hmm. Not just the Earthborn. In fact, I was talking, I think it was maybe Jim about this. It was like, I rarely use the Earthborn Animus on Mulg. I mean, I didn't lose him all the time, but yeah. I mean, I ended up using his Earthbreaker.
Stacking
or Runebreaker, that is.
Stacking that survivability. The Earthborn Animus existing, I'm still surprised they gave the faction walls on a stick.
Yeah.
Like, Janessa just makes, why does she exist?
Yeah, she makes it pretty egregious. And then, like, when you stack her with, like, Kalandra, you know, if you try and chip away at some of the lights in the EE list, or if you're just playing Kalandra out of tier without a Doomshaper, like, getting Janessa with her is ridiculous because she's defense 14, goes up to 18 behind a wall. With Starcrossed, you are not hitting her unless you knock her down.
Thank God.
You know what you might hit her with?
A Wrecking Ball?
Bushwhackers from far away.
You.
Just that... 11-man CRA.
Yeah, and because if they run up their lights to tie you up, then you can just slip away around them, right? Yeah.
They tie you up.
God damn you.
And you just slip away, laser beam Janessa, lob an AoE, blow some shit up.
When I think of, like, one pig bushwhacker get like shouting out, like, it's slip away time, guys, get out the fucking body oil, they pull it out of their little pocket, they're like, they move their ham over, and their bullets, and their knives, and they get this nice little... scented lotion bottle, and they start squirting and rubbing all over them, and then they're just like, woo, and then slip through other guys' hands.
They just rub the ham on them.
That could be it, too.
You know, because ham, like, when it comes out of the can, has that stuff on it.
The jelly.
The jelly.
I'd like sardines.
So maybe it's ham jelly.
Oh, my God. Sardine jelly. Just, when I mention it, I just, like, ugh.
It's like chewing on tinfoil.
No, you know, not just the jelly. Like, I used to work at a pizza place when I was younger, and you'd have to, like, clear the sardine of the jelly, and it's just gross. It'd smell like sardines for a week.
So
I'm getting the chills right now because when I was a kid, I used to chew on my shirt. You know,
yeah.
I'd do that.
Uh-huh.
And knit, like, sweaters have a particularly terrifying texture to them when you chew on those. So just so you know, don't chew on a sweater.
My brother's the same way with cotton balls.
Fucking
wiggy, like,
right now.
He had to go to the doctor when he was younger to get, like, the earwax, like, squeezed and syringed out of his ear because he refused to use cotton swabs because he hated cotton with a passion.
Dude. Oh, cotton swabs.
Yeah.
If if sex for women feels half as good as using a cotton swab feels to me, lucky them. Because, man, is it a... Sometimes, like, it's like, oh, that's good. But some mornings you get the cotton swab in there, and I'll be there for, like, 5 minutes, just like, oh, this feels so good.
I know, like, a lot of people, they'll sit there and itch their ears with cotton swabs, so you start to build up scar tissue. So, like, when you do get that, like, this feels good feeling, it's either... I'm pretty sure it's either because the nerves haven't been exposed to a lot of touch, so they're really sensitive, or there's some scar tissue and itching it is actually, you know... it feels good that way. You're getting some relief out of some itching.
No, I think occasionally God just wants you to feel good, and he makes your ears extra fun.
Sure thing. That's fine. Sometimes God hates you and gives your UA slip away.
You know what this feels like? This really, really feels like the Legion cast. It feels like that that you are Jeremy right now.
Oh,
No.
And
voice of reason.
You're arguing that Proteus is shit.
No,
and we're giving you good reasons why Proteus is amazing.
It's a crippled system Facebook quiz. I'm Brian. I am not Jeremy. I want to make that perfectly fucking clear.
Oh, so good.
When I was talking to Amanda once about maybe you should come on the cast once and just talk as a lady wargamer. And then I was like, no, because then that would just draw another parallel between me and Jeremy. And I just don't want that. I don't want to be the Jeremy replacement.
Just people coming in with their super competent wives.
Well, the thing is that I'm so competent that she, like...
That's what Jeremy says, just, too.
Oh, fuck you. I'm done with this cast. I'm going home. I'm going to finish my beer because it's here. And until then, kiss my ass. Fuck you guys.
That is exactly what he says.
God damn it!
Ah, you missed Jeremy.
I would like to spend more time with him one of these days.
Yeah. Katie will let him out of the house eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe when she finds a new job.
I think, yeah. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, it'll eventually get there, sure, but...
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
What are you talking about? Yeah, let's take nature. Oh, I wrote something before with burgers distracting me. Something that occurred to me.
I thought you were going
to
say burrowers, and I was burrowers just like, exactly. Fuck you so hard.
This will maybe make you happy.
Burrowers would be really good with slip away.
Well,
here's the thing. This conversation, you know what's good with slip away? Bushwhackers. No, there's what the conversation made me think about. Imagine, I mean, it's kind of like a Highlander, not Highlander, yeah, it is Highlander, no, Frankenstein food machine. This is like a food machine style thing.
Oh, I was thinking of your
UA swap.
Frankenstein.
UA swap.
We got a timer on our chest that counts down.
Yes. No, it counts up to what percentage back alive you are.
Yes.
This corpse is 87% of the way back to being alive. That movie was amazing. I feel bad for the two other people in the theater when we saw it. They were not amused by us.
No.
But no, a UA swap.
Okay. Well, like a Who's the Boss style?
Yeah, but like, you know, you get one UA in your list. Like, you could even be pre-list build, but like every list, just standard list, but you can get every one UA from any other faction on whatever the hell unit in your list you want to throw it onto. would speak to the new unit, obviously.
I'm thinking of like Iron Zeal Warders. Oh my god, so good.
Yeah. Or Warders with Swiftway.
Fuck you. No, they can't even make it past a base.
What?
They can't. They're speed 4.
What? They can make it past a small base.
Yeah, a small base, sure. Yeah.
If slip Warders in charge.
No. Just not.
Slip away in charge.
No.
What about slip away on Kayazi?
They don't need it.
What? Slip away. Kayazi basically have slip away as a mini feed, and it's really good.
It, except I
so
think
you're
the,
saying
the
you hate Kayazi?
No.
Because they really make good use of
slip
away.
Well, they would lose the underboss if they took the.
That's because they don't shoot you from 18 inches away.
Neither do bushwhackers if they're tied up.
And neither do Kayazi.
If your bushwhackers are tied up, you've made a terrible mistake
during
the game. But
thank God slip away is there to save you.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the whole faction of Kricks. You make a mistake, and it's there to fix it. So now Trollbloods is like Kricks because we have dummy buttons like slip away on our pig unit.
Slip away bushwhackers are basically purging bile thralls.
Yeah, basically. It's the same thing, yeah.
Same thing.
If at first you don't succeed on wiping their whole army, you can try at least 5 more times. Yeah. Maybe 6 if you have Excarnate.
Excarnate on a troll would be pretty cool.
That's not on a UA, though.
Oh, yeah, no. True.
Excarnate, Calandra, E-Calandra. There we go.
Speaking of...
It's automatically the Monolith Bearer. What
pop
other...
Pop a guy, get a warder.
Super good UAs.
Oh, yeah, the Monolith Bearer is probably... He's really up there as far as, like, UAs you won't see the Zealots taken without.
I have a good one. Iris 3.
Yeah, Iris 3 is good.
But she does have contention with their other commander, too. Like, there's
well,
definitely...
The other no, putting really her good. On other, like, you know, oh, taking her on, like, a Kricks unit, like, throwing her on Bane Knights or something, you know,
yeah,
at some point.
That would be a big deal.
I'm going to view a card here because I'm curious about something. Is if the gun mage pistolier captain is a Jack Marshall, or if just the unit is a Jack Marshall? Because if you could put that fucker on a different unit and bring Jack Marshall with rune shots into, like, you know, other factions, that'd be kind of funny.
If he's, it might be that he might have the Jack Marshall trait.
I think he
too
does,
but I know the unit and general does.
Yeah, I know that, but, I,
but
if
he
has
also
it, has it,
because I think he would have to be, he has to be alive to give the rune shot to the Jack. I know that much, because if you scalpel him out, then it's fucked.
Oh, yeah. Under A for Arcane Tempest Gun Mage, not under G for Gun Mage.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's a Marshal.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That works for me.
Yeah, I'd trade the drive to do that, sure. I'll bring in Jack and a
giving
Horde's
True
army.
Sight and Jack Marshal, and of course, the Jack Marshal with Rune Shot to any random unit. That could
like
be
a Leviathan or something?
Yeah.
God, Leviathans are so good. I don't know why people don't use them more
I think
often.
When Denegra 3 starts getting like some real table time, I think you're going to see like the triple Leviathan list with her, because one soul for three focus is just ridiculous.
I usually took at least one Leviathan, maybe two with my Gorshade list.
Mm-hmm. Well, a Leviathan dry humping more Tenebra was also always
yeah, because
a legit
you just,
thing.
Like,
because Leviathan with seven focus is also good.
Exactly. Or Yogurt, Iacos. He runs Leviathans just fine, too. I mean, like, they don't need any help.
Icosicotine.
I just call him Yogurt.
Shaka Muffina.
Because that's how I work. I think this is the second time you've tried to rap battle someone, and that person's lost horribly.
Yeah, yesterday it was Travis.
Yeah, and he had a running chance at that one because it was MC Chris.
Yeah.
So, but you started in the part where everybody's like, oh, yeah, the Boba Fett song's really cool, but I don't know shit about it other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't recognize anything until you got to my backpack.
Yeah. You're like, my backpack? Are you talking about a backpack or a Corvette? You're like, I'm Boba the Fett.
Yeah.
He has a new-ish album out. I think it might have been like last year or last 2 years, but I think it's MC Chris is back. Because it was MC Chris is dead, and now it's MC Chris is back.
Yeah.
So I think that was 2010. Yeah. But Spotify is the only way I really learn about new music, so.
Yep. Silence. There's a
list
lot of
stagnation.
List stagnation. We just did interpretive radio.
Yeah.
On what happens when you try to build a list when you don't have any ideas. So if we just bring in it full circle, so that the audience can experience it.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited now. I mean, the only thing is now I need to go buy more models.
Well, and you know, with Thyrin being available too, that like opens up some design space for Rhett too. Like if you haven't touched anything since Thyrin had hit, like that. I played against a Thyrin list and made horrible mistakes, but it was really interesting to see how people were utilizing him differently.
Speaking of which, it's Thyrin, not Tyrone.
No, like, it's not Tyrone.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm sorry you can't speak English and put together words that make sounds in appropriate ways, but it is not Tyrone. It's Thyrin.
Yeah, I was pairing him with with Ron, and I would just call him the Rons.
Thyron and Ron.
The Ron and Thyron.
I'll always just call him Ronald McDonald, and I think that's what really pisses my retribution opponents off. I'm like, oh, Ronald McDonald's coming to town.
I did hear somebody say that he should just be called Gareth too.
That was the other.
He really is. Seems like a polished version of what Gareth was going for.
Yeah.
When I was staring at my war room, that was the caster I was really wanting to try to build a list. And then I'm sitting there going, like, well, his theme force has got, but I don't want to play super like 5 million.
Yes.
Mage hunters. It just
that is a problem. The Doom Reaver and Runes of War and EE stuff has really opened up, like, how many other things can I spam and make an interesting use of? Like, I saw that as soon as the Chromac 2 theme force got spoiled, everybody and their uncle was trying to say, let's try and run Chromac with 12 lights and see what happens. And it's ridiculous that seems to be the flavor, but I understand why it is, and why like 40k was like the breeding ground for spam, because the more of one thing you had, the better your dice were, because you could average it out over a lot of them. And in War Machine, it kind of feels the same way, where if you throw a lot of good stuff at your opponent, it's really hard to answer. So like the spam environment's the good environment, But I think the well-rounded list will eventually make a comeback. But as soon as you start seeing like 30 Bane Knights in your meta, it's like dangerous. That stuff's crazy.
Well, that's how it was in Mark 1. Basically, near the end of Mark 1 was, I mean, when Brian was popping 30 Banes, 30 Bile Thralls for his lists. I mean, the points, when they updated all the points, though, that made it a little less feasible to have now. But
Throbby?
Yeah, I don't know.
Instead of Thyrin?
Throbby.
Let's call him Throbby.
Yeah, a lot of people call him the Beetle Warrior as well, too. Because he looks
the big bad Beetleborgs?
Yeah, that's what people call him as well.
That makes an interesting conversion idea that I didn't think at first that he looked very Beetle-ish, but there is the Kingdom Death, as much as we've talked about it over the I think on the six-pack we did. But, like, Kingdom Death has a Beetle Knight that could be used as some neat conversion parts if you want to bulk Thyrin up a little bit if he's not bulky enough for you.
He's a medium base model. He looks like he should be a small base, but he's a big boy.
Yeah, it really does throw the scale on Retribution off a little bit. I would like to see them get some medium based infantry eventually.
Yeah,
but
he works like an assassin, but he's difficult to hide. Mm-hmm. I found that out in my game against Jason's.
Well, that's where I whiffed it in the six pack because I had charged Mulg at some guys to try and goad into him because I knew I could see him. I could swing over the halberdiers that were in front of him, so it wasn't like a big deal for me. But that I came up an inch short. I'm over it though.
You can mod him to be the Guyver.
The Guyver?
The Guyver.
I just know Muck Guyver.
No.
MacGruber?
No, the Guyver.
Nah, I don't
know. Mark Hamill's fourth best character.
No. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's a bad movie.
Fuck you.
It's a bad movie.
Fuck you.
It's a bad, bad movie.
Catbug, what do you think?
It's shitty.
Ah.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm just like, I talked about wonderful movies too much yesterday, and now I really have this bug to watch every single Puppet Master movie that I can get my hands on.
You're going
to
badmouth the Guyver, but you're going to watch every Puppet Master movie?
Because it's amazing up until you started having, like, Corey Taylor in them. Then it gets really bad.
You haven't even seen the Guyver.
No, but I don't need to know that Puppet Master is infinitely better.
Not infinitely.
Infinitely. It's got a big number. Six Shooter was my man. Okay, he was amazing. He was my, like, everybody's got their, I think everybody who watches Puppet Master has their puppet that they liked a lot, and for me it was Six Shooter.
I like the Ghoulies.
Yeah, well,
I like Critters better.
Well, of course Critters is better. Well, Critters 2 perfected the Critters franchise, but
they have weapons. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I haven't seen that movie in such a long time.
Ghoulies was the one where the little, like, goblin things or little, like, monsters were in the funhouse, right? Yeah. That movie's really good, too.
Yeah.
I won't deny that. Yeah, the toilet monster, yep.
I would say that this is probably, we're talking about movies again, but man, I love talking about movies. I think it's an unsung movie, is The Gate.
Yeah, absolutely. The Gate's great.
The original Gate movie.
I love the little edit they have, it's a shot of the little monsters running around, and somebody edited Steve Buscemi's, who's the one from the Amazon Fire Stick commercials now? The crazy shouty guy.
Oh, Gary Busey?
Gary Busey. They edited Gary Busey's head onto all the little guys running around. It's like, It's great.
That movie actually really scared me back when it came out. I just like the premise of it.
I had to look this up because this is probably the most underrated fun movie that I've ever seen. And if you were ever into Dance Dance Revolution, you need to watch it. It's on Amazon, right? It's on Amazon. You can just buy it for like $3. It's called The FP.
Did we talk about this last week?
I wasn't here last week for it. So if you guys magically talked about The FP, then I give kudos to whoever brought it up.
Yeah,
where's the link to this? I can add that as a picture into the bottom.
All I did was
is that an image?
All I did was Google search Gary Busey the Gate, and it's just the first result under the images.
All right.
Yeah, it's good times.
The FP is like, it's underground dance. Oh, Jesus Christ. I was like trying to like finish that thought, and then you showed me this GIF, and I'm just like, fuck me.
The one going up out of the ground.
Gary Busey just like fills your life with wonderment.
Did you ever watch I'm with Busey? I know Andy did.
That show is I'm with Busey.
No, I didn't. I think the last thing I watched with Gary Busey was like the MTV like celebrity weight loss challenge or whatever they had with him.
This was a show they had on Cartoon Network.
No, it was Comedy Central.
I meant to say Comedy Central. Sorry. It was on Comedy Central, and all it was just a random guy, like you, just a dude. He wasn't any, like, he...
No, no, he's the guy who did, he eventually went on to do...
Well, went on to.
Well, yeah, but the animated 8-bit cartoon show.
Code Monkeys?
Code Monkeys, yeah.
Which Whatever. Was amazing. I'm really sad that was it only him. Lasted two yeah. seasons.
Hey, at least we got two seasons out
yeah.
of it.
Cock Goblin.
Anyway, the whole thing was just
him.
That's
got David Carvey, and he's amazing.
It was just him and Gary Busey just hanging out and doing stuff.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Like not scripted or anything. They would just go to the carnival. And it was just, he would just film himself and Gary Busey going to the carnival. And you don't need a script when you just take Gary Busey and go places with him.
Yeah, that you don't. He is a mystical person.
Him and Bjork are two of the most magical people. Like, they're proof to me that there's fey creatures and they disguise themselves as humans. Because Bjork is an elf princess of some kind. And exactly. Gary Busey is like a goblin who doesn't understand human behavior quite enough.
Yeah.
But he's the best they got. Mm-hmm. So they disguised him and sent him out. Like, he got the closest.
That needs to...
You just put the GIF up in the middle of the street. Yeah. I didn't know you could do that. Special guest host, Gary Busey.
Speaking of special guest hosts, I'm going to reel it back to the FP. It's like Kung Fury for Dance Dance Revolution. You got to watch it.
Kung Fury.
And speaking of Kung Fury, though, that guy's going to... The Kung Fury is going to be at Gamehole Con.
Nice.
Yeah. The guy who played him, at least.
Yeah. They
well, that's
did
a documentary.
They did a special thing for Gamehole Con as well.
Yeah, they'll be there too. So if you're on the fence about it, somehow we're not going to be able to make it through a serious anything with that on the screen.
Sure, we will. I already pulled up Twitter. I found tweets on the Twitter.
So we're going to be zappening those grumbles?
Well, eventually we can. The first three are all from the same guy.
Oh, and of course, I thought Andy was going to block everybody else out but him and keep double Gary Busey up on the screen.
I have introduced something magical to Andy's life.
It's so fucking amazing. Yeah,
I think this is going to be Andy's avatar for the rest of his life.
If that could be the screensaver on my TV whenever I wasn't using it, you know, instead of turning off, it just goes to that.
I would like that on my computer at work.
I said, like, the internet is a stupid, weird place, but sometimes I'm just so glad it exists.
Yeah, there's a big layer of shit you have to get through before you find this kind of stuff.
But you find this stuff.
But when you do,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you,
internet. Thank you, whatever random stoned weirdo decided, I'm going to Photoshop Gary Busey's face onto the monsters from the gate and put it on the internet.
Yep.
Oh my god, that is so good.
Yeah.
Well, actually.
You just can't get rid of it.
Just back in
I
the
can't
corner
get
there.
Rid of it, but I'm going to put it up here.
So it'll look like it's a painting that you have.
Yeah. Right. Just right up there. It's like one of those weird things you get at Hot Topic.
And actually, we could have it there for every single podcast now.
Just up in the corner. Yeah, isn't it weird, Cat Bug?
Yeah. Some fucked up shit.
Wow.
Whenever you're down.
Gary Busey.
Gary
picks
Busey,
you up.
Yep.
So Zappity Grumbles. Oh, thank you, Gary Busey. I have the Twitter. Green asks several things, first of which is, who will show me the best time as I come to your neck of the woods for Gamehole Con, Green?
I'm going to say, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I can show you some pretty cool stuff. I tried to pawn some heroin off on Travis the other day. It didn't work out so well for me, but...
Travis had a kid. Wonder Woman? Him to have heroin.
No, but he could probably do something with it that would be interesting.
If anybody needs to do heroin here, that's me. I need to lose weight.
Have you played the Dune board game?
No, I haven't.
So there is a card in the Dune board game. The battle mechanic includes heroes. And if you're in battle, there's a chance you will die or be a traitor and fuck over the whole battle. So to prevent that from happening, there is a card. And you have to play a hero every battle. It's not optional.
Yeah.
And so to prevent that from happening, you can play the cheap hero card, which he's garbage. He's single use, but you know he's not a traitor. And if he dies, you don't care. He was an expendable card.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three of them in the deck. But in the interest of gender neutrality, there is a cheap hero, there is a cheap hero, and there is the cheap heroine. So it's always endless amusement that one of the cards you can get in the deck is cheap heroine.
Yeah, that's usually not the stuff you want to use, but no. I do. I think there was a really long stint where all my friends were getting to the age where they were getting married. There's so many getting married, and I would always
heroin.
Heroin. They would always ask me to go out for their bachelor party, and usually they'd sit around and play games all day until I showed up, and then I was able to take them out and show them a really good time. That's kind of. I feel like I'm a party guy. I could do it. I'd just rip my pants off. I like to party.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I've been in a prison riot.
That would be interesting. I haven't been there.
No. Yeah. Jail-ish. So, Non-Euclidean and Nick obviously didn't listen last episode because we had like a 20-minute topic that consisted entirely of what movie screwed us up as a child.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, mine was Conan the Barbarian.
Mine was Alien and Poltergeist 2.
It didn't screw my childhood, but it kind of set the tone for the rest of my life, was Lost Boys.
I think that was actually somebody else had that, too. Yeah. I think it was Ben?
Well, the Lost Boys drinking game is good, because it's a simple one. See, the problem with drinking games you find online is they'll have, like, 57 rules, and that's too much
shit.
Yeah,
you
got to
keep track of it.
You need one, maybe two things, and it has to blitz you but not kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lost Boys one is good, because it's just... What's the main character's name? David? Is it David?
I have no fucking clue. I think this is part of it.
But whatever. The point is just they're apparently allergic to pronouns in that script.
Yeah.
So all it is just take a drink every time somebody says
a proper
David,
noun. Yeah.
Or what, well, just the main character's name.
Okay.
Because his name is said like 70 times in that movie. Mm-hmm.
I think you have to do that, though, when they're like in a biker gang, though. You have to refer to people as their proper name because you, or their whatever adopted name they've taken. Like, I knew a guy named Taker. He was really scary. But, there's so many of them that you can't, yeah, you have to refer to them.
This is like Rick and Morty style, where Rick says Morty literally every sentence, sometimes two or three times per sentence.
But isn't that like a Doc Brown thing, though, that carried over?
It might be.
Like Marty, you hear that and you know it's Doc Brown.
Oh, that was you, Jesus! That was such a flawless impression. For a second, I thought Christopher Lloyd was in the room.
Well, you know, I try to do the best I can. If you want to book me for your parties, you can call me at 1-800. Go fuck yourself.
If Green wants a Christopher Lloyd impersonator, you do show the best.
Exactly.
Time.
Yep, best time ever.
What that? No, everyone's trying to look at the screen, and I just see that.
But it's not there when you look, and it fucks you up.
Right here, this is the beauty. I hope I got that right. So Brian is our answer. Zappity, if you could be an animal, what would you be?
An animal?
An animal.
I'm going to steal it from you.
Okay.
I'm a penguin.
Penguins?
Pangolin. Pangolin.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about. I was going to steal pangolin from you. Oh, man, I think I got it fucking exactly right. I was pretty good. Oh, it lines up with there and there.
I like a pangolin. I think I discovered this. You knew about it before I did, but or maybe we discovered it around the same time. But, man, those animals are fucking amazing.
We maybe discovered it like a week apart, but I discovered it from you because Borderlands 2 has the pangolin shields.
Yep.
It's a pangolin brand shield, and I thought that was a mythical creature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
That's how recently I found out about a pangolins, was that I thought they were a mythical creature on there that I had never heard of before.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're real. I'm like, what? Yeah, they're totally real.
They're awesome. They're pretty just awesome. They're just an anteater that has a ridiculously cool-looking shell. They walk
like
on
plate
two
metal.
Legs. Yeah. They look awesome. I'd be endangered, so then I would be protected.
Yeah. Be a red panda.
Oh.
And then everybody would want me as a pet and they'd scratch my tum-tum.
Yep, that'd be pretty good. I'd be something that could fly. I've never really put a lot of thought to it.
Yeah, I almost said bat, but...
That was actually where I was going to go, and then I realized, like, they're nocturnal, they sleep in big crowds, which I don't like. I don't know. I think I'd probably be a pterodactyl. Let's do that. I'll be a pterodactyl.
I didn't know we could choose ones that weren't around
it's
anymore.
It's an animal.
Well, it was an animal. If I can choose things that are dead.
If you could be any animal, any was the modifier. Oh,
they didn't even say it had to be real?
They said any.
Well, you Godzilla. Could be
a, okay, sure. He's an animal.
Yes.
Could I had to turn it off. I think it was actually messing with the internet connection. Well, something's happening with our internet connection.
Why?
I don't know. It started chopping.
Did you turn your porn computer on?
No. It's like dropping. I don't know why it's dropping right now. It's dropping really bad.
Nah. Zappity.
Yeah,
you
grumble.
Find out you have 1 week to live. What do? You can't break any laws. What the fuck's the point?
Yeah. If you have, you just have to live your life normally. Because, like, if I can't break any laws, it means I can't steal money to go do the things that I want to do. Because off my bank account right now, I could not live my life's fullest dreams.
You could write checks.
How am I in a law? Like, yeah. I can't even, like, I can't pee break off laws. The Sears Tower.
And I think that bouncing a check is illegal.
Well, you could post a checks.
I guess it depends on how you frame laws, because law could be, like, is it the law of the state, or is it the law or a rule of the bank or something? And I don't know. But I think I'd probably just travel and
you could
spend time with people.
Yeah. You could redirect your funds in that, but you could pull out a loan.
Yeah, you could pull out a loan. That would work. I'd pull out one of those payday loans that pays like 180% insurance or interest.
Yeah, you could go to like a series. You'd have to hit them like really fast.
Yeah, so they didn't report right away.
Yep. Yep.
I'd probably travel to Scotland. That's where I'd want to go. I really want to go to Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't even live a week now without breaking a law. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I guess I would probably go spend it with family.
Well, I'd bring my family to Scotland. How's that sound?
I guess if I cheated the payday loan thing, or if I magically have infinite money for my final 2 weeks thing, I would go into space.
Yeah, if you'd afford to go into space.
And then I'd jump out.
Yeah, just get it done.
Would that be against the law?
Well, I'd mostly just be curious what it's like
to get
be in space.
To be like Commander Shepard.
Yeah, I'm just curious what it would feel like to have, like...
Have what? Your whole body torn apart.
What?
Imploded.
What? So that's what happens at the end of Mass Effect 3?
No, it's the beginning of Mass Effect 2. Like,
I played 40 minutes of Mass Effect 1 and I was done.
Well, then you're just terrible for that. But
I do know that you're supposed to exhale, ironically. Do not inhale.
Yeah, because then that'll make more pressure, right?
Yeah, the pressure is the danger, not the suffocation.
Yeah.
So it's better to exhale and just have like 10 seconds out there than to inhale to get 30, because you won't live the 30 due to the pressure.
Yeah, it's like clenching your butt cheeks before you dive 50 feet into the water.
But you are supposed to do that.
No, it's like, you're supposed to do it. You're not supposed to go like loose butt and then just... Well, people normally...
Like, is it counterintuitive? Like, I expected that I was supposed to just goatsee it up on my way down?
Some people might. You never know how they're going to splash into the water.
That's my new answer. goatsee cliff dive with my mouth open just to see if it makes it.
Just to see,
just see if it just shoots out like a fountain. Can you imagine being the people on the side just see that? Yeah. And they're like all intestines then too.
Yep, you reverse poop. Zappity.
Grump.
Tort says he wants a regular Nathan as a pet, and I would scratch his tum-tum.
My tum-tum.
What's your favorite rock opera?
The Genetic Opera, I think.
Yeah,
I haven't seen many, so I think that's about as good as I can get.
Here's the thing, though. Isn't there dialogue in that?
It does. It's
technically a musical, not an opera, right?
Well, what about the one from... No,
there's opera. There's opera music in there.
But the thing is, as far as I can recall, I think at least from my theater days back in high school and everything, was that operas were 100% singing.
Oh, all the way through.
Whereas musicals had song talk,
song
talk,
song talk. What about the one from
BoJack
Horseman?
Hmm?
What about the one from BoJack Horseman where the lazy roommate Todd does
that
rock
opera?
That one
seemed good.
It seemed like it was good. I haven't seen a rock opera otherwise, so.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Never.
You ever seen JC Superstar?
Mm-hmm. No.
It's really good.
Yeah, I've got nothing on that topic, I guess.
So, I guess it would...
I mean, there's JC Superstar and then Tommy by The Who are going to be the two big ones.
Operation Mindcrime.
I've never heard of that. Operation Mindcrime?
Yeah.
Okay.
Queensryche.
Oh, okay.
Have you never listened to Operation Mindcrime?
I have not.
You should.
Sorry.
You would probably like it.
Okay. Then Operation Mindcrime for my own safety Operation will Mindcrime, be our answer.
Or there's another really good one from Dream Theater as well.
There's nothing good from Dream Theater.
Six Degrees.
I got hit with Slip Away all episode. I had to hit you with
no,
that
you didn't
one.
Have to hit me with anything. You can hit me with something later on. We stay with Slip Away with Brian.
Okay. No,
for the whole episode. It's a callback.
Oh, does rock opera count as like Meatloaf's Bad Out of Hell? Because that'll be fine too.
Maybe. Or I guess, well, that Daft Punk album is kind of a rock opera because that guy animated a whole movie to match up with it.
Yeah, maybe. That'll work too.
Well, you weren't in the room, though, but Nathan has never heard of Operation Mindcrime.
Me neither.
Boosh!
2 out of 3 crippled system members do not
agree. Has anybody else out there actually ever heard of Operation Mindcrime from Queensryche?
Queensryche has never heard of Operation Mindcrime.
That's their single best stuff, is Operation Mindcrime. I know somebody who will personally kill you for disparaging it the way you have right now.
Man. Are you that little boy?
No, I'm not. You have you met my friend Sean?
I might have. I don't know. He was supposed to appear on any Pain Train ever, and he never did.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Guy Grumble. Somebody said something about Kingdom Death Monsters. Are we excited?
If somebody wants to buy it for me, sure, but I'm not spending $400 on a board game.
Hmm. I don't think I've actually ever seen any of them yet. I probably should look.
The game made me super interested when it first came out on Kickstarter. I was like legitimately wanted to pick it up. And now they're like pre-releasing it for like, I think it retails at $400 or $450.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of models and that's fine. But I really feel like the sight of the game got lost in a sea of titties.
Hmm.
So I just don't know if I don't know if I can respect the game or the company anymore because they were releasing the models quicker than they were releasing the game, and the game was really should have been the focus, but they just decided to do pinups galore and make very oddly shaped women because they had big boobs and big hips.
That seems to be the focus of Cool Mini or not for me too.
It is. I really wanted to get into Relic Knights. Like I thought it looked like a really cool game, but then it was ass and titties everywhere, and then I wanted to get into Wrath of Kings, and it seems like if you want to play that game, you gotta be a furry.
There's like Octopus Cavalry and stuff.
Yeah, stuff like, well, the big one I was like, oh man, there's rat people in this one faction. That's cool. They're diversifying the demon-esque faction. And I was like, does that rat have titties and cleavage? Yep, sure as shit does. And then there's this, it's basically like Diet War Machine is what it seems like. Mm. They have this Gortzy faction that's supposed to be about lightning quick tactics and hit and run measures. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like it's neat. Oh, wait, they're all wolves with titties. It's Circle with titties. And it's stupid. I don't like that whole perspective of trying to use boobies to sell a game, and it's just
like comics from the 90s.
I almost just can't respect people who really play that game and think the models are absolutely perfect and amazing. It just doesn't work for me. It's like that wolf has no gender other than the boobs on its chest.
I, as a painter, I feel weird painting models like that. Mm-hmm. I don't. It's not like I...
Well, because you want them to look right. I mean, like, there's certain light play that happens that makes things look sure. Right, and you want to accentuate it because it's a mini. But then you're just accentuating, like, naked hips, boobs, and maybe you might see some, like, labia that you're trying to accentuate, too, because you're a painter and you want to do that.
Labia?
Yeah, Cool Mini or Not has a lot of models that are fully nude with a helmet, a sword, and a shield.
Would it be better or worse if the wolves had 6 titties?
No, I think that'd be fine because then it actually makes sense. But what they're doing is they're anthropomorphizing women into their minis to try and sell them to people that I don't want to have anything to do with. Because if you're going to, I mean, like, I'm going on the very extreme end of things where, like, if you're interested in buying those models because they get you yippy and excited, then I'm classifying you as a certain type of person that I don't want to be around. But if you like the faction and that's just what happens to be there, then sure, I can let that go. But like for the most part, those games really turn me off because they are so hypersexualized, and I don't want to perpetuate that stereotype about the gaming community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Zappy?
Yeah. Are you on the Facebooks?
I'm on the Facebooks.
Okay, then I won't be on the Facebooks.
All right.
I closed the Facebooks.
Yeah, good.
That was
good.
All of the tweeter tweets.
And what are you doing?
No.
What are you doing? There you... Yeah.
Somebody text me. Do it!
I was just about to, actually. All right. So, Jim asks if you could be a regular on any other podcast, which podcast and why? No limits on the podcast. Make one up if you want.
No such thing as a fish.
I don't know what that is.
That is QI's podcast.
Oh, okay. From the British.
The British show QI. Yeah, that's their podcast.
Go ahead.
I just could say the title of the podcast is one of my favorite bits of trivia, which is that fish, like picture a fish in your head.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no such thing as like that specific creature exists, but fish as a term is the most useless term that exists. Because like their example is that a salmon is genetically closer to a giraffe than it is to a carp.
Well, yeah, that's like cabbage and people, right?
Yeah. Like a cabbage and lettuce are further apart than, but no, I think that even still, like
they share the same branch.
Yeah, they're the same branch. But like even things that look the same, like a salmon and a carp, have nothing to do with each other. They're like the carp is actually way closer to elephants, and the salmon's way closer to dung beetles. And they just, even though they both look like a fish, there's no genetic or biological thing that actually links them apart from, well, they're fish. Obviously, they're fish, which isn't a scientific thing to say.
Yeah. No, I think for me, it'd be a mix between Muse on Minis and then Beer Machine, just because I respect both those podcasts a lot. And
you're just stuck with ours.
No, I'm not stuck with yours. It's just that I enjoy Crippled System. If you would have asked me like 5 months ago, it would have been Crippled System.
One of our viewers was actually texting me to make my phone shake.
No, I don't want to replace Crippled System with one of those. This would be something on the side.
Yeah, no, as what the question
is. I enjoy you people very much.
I just want to hang out with the Muse guys because I like them.
Yeah, I know. Like now that Keith's here, I would like to try and hang out with him a little bit here and there. But it seemed like he was very preoccupied at the six pack. Plus, he's got a kid and everything now, so things get a little weird. But I'd like to. I think it'd be a good time. I could rub troll dicks with Chad. That'd be fun.
For me, it'd probably be either one or the other. I would like to be a regular on the Rooster Teeth podcast because I enjoy their show a lot. I feel like I would fit in fairly well there. The other one, it would be the Joe Rogan podcast. People still texting you?
Your Turn Go is the best podcast. LOL, LOL. Take me out of your pocket. You can't ignore me.
But I do like the Joe Rogan podcast as well, too.
Joe Rogan's great. I like Joe Rogan.
He's going to be in Madison in November.
There's no MGDs left over for anybody else.
Well, because you guys never asked for one, and this is like...
Andy said that we weren't allowed to drink them. So
I didn't say you weren't allowed to. It's not like I wouldn't. I said you can't touch my MGD.
His exact words were that those were beers that we couldn't drink. So I thought that was
a putting
thing.
He was placing a value statement on this MGD. Beer.
I would have drank one too.
You then why did you say you can't? I said never once that you couldn't drink this beer. Now you're gonna have to eat my shitty beer chips. Except I get to be the one who goes home half cocked.
Wow.
So you're the one who gets...
somebody is salty today.
Wow. You talked about slip away. Now I'm going to have to go home and beat Amanda. What's up?
I think she could take you.
She probably could too. Yeah. Beat the shit out of me.
You just come to the next podcast. It's
like, I fell down the stairs.
And Amanda's like, these are the stairs. Like Captain Hammer style. Her fist stares in doorknob.
Yep.
Zabity.
Rumble.
All right, next one is you can bring back any canceled show back, but it'll only last one additional season and sadly be a letter grade worse in quality than the last season. Which do you bring back for a last hurrah and why?
I could go with Code Monkeys. We did talk about it, but it did make me reminisce about how I wish it lasted longer.
Yeah.
And I think I could deal with A-level Code Monkeys going to, like, B-level Code Monkeys.
I'm embracing the letter grade drop. I'm going with Cop Rock. I want another year of Cop Rock. The world needs the joy.
I don't know.
No. Cop Rock, man. Come on. It's Law and Order, but a musical.
There was a goddamn season of this. That's rough.
Yeah.
I think I would have been more happy if you said dinosaurs.
Dude, come on. First of all, dinosaurs was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was like Roseanne with dinosaurs.
But
it was
you
amazing.
Can't. Second of all, wouldn't bring it back because it had the best season series finale ever.
Yeah, you can't Andy's bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't bring that show back for another season. Well, you could. You could do it Sledgehammer style.
You could.
Actually, that's my answer right now.
Sledgehammer.
I went third season of the Sledgehammer. David Rash, he's doing stuff. He can do Sledgehammer again. He should, because he's amazing.
I saw a DVD in the family video. Remember when we were looking at Big Ass Spider? There's a DVD that was like from the maker of Sledgehammer. And we're like, whoa! And then we didn't rent it, and I don't remember what it was.
Probably I could also accept having Vikings Season 4 right now, because then it would go from S level to A level.
The other show I would like to bring back, but it's one that probably nobody has ever heard of, was a show in the 90s. Followed the... the dead spot that followed X-Files, every shale was... No. A show called Strange Luck.
I've heard of it, but never saw it.
It was... if it was on nowadays, it would be pretty well... it was well-written at the time, but I don't think it was picked up, mainly because it was at horrible time slots. Lasted a season. But it was just a guy who had literally strange luck. He was like the only survivor of a plane accident, or a plane crash. Not an accident.
Well, you know, might have been an accident.
Plane accident is like one of the tires goes flat on the runway. Plane crash is a little bit different than that.
I don't know, a car accident. Wait, Roseanne retconned the ending? Well, that's good. The last season of Roseanne made no sense when they were all rich.
Yeah.
Well, no, would that...
And then they flashed back, and it turned out that John Goodman's character was dead, and Roseanne was just delusional.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a messed up ending.
Yeah, that's morbid shit.
The other one, another good series I think would fit the bill would be Jericho. But Jericho already had the letter grade drop in the second season.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. And the post-cancellation comeback with the letter grade drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what he was thinking of originally. That show was really good until the second season.
Yeah.
That's where we get the, Zebedee.
Grumble.
What is Scorn missing to be top tier?
Nothing. Fuck you.
What is They're what amazing. Missing?
Scorn.
Scorn, yeah. No.
Nothing.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that the reason, people right now are kind of obsessed with Scorn being terrible for two reasons. Number one, they think Zal 2 is bad because they're bad and don't understand that Zal 2 is good. And number two, if you look at the WC numbers that everybody's jerking off over right now, Scorn had really bad numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I think there was like two people playing Scorn.
So did Mercs, but that's not an overall representation of what the regular meta looks like.
One guy played Mercs, and that one guy happened to go, 1-5, and so Mercs had a shitty win record. Because
he got tossed to shitty matchups.
Because he probably got tossed to shitty matchups as a sacrificial pawn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe he was just having an off tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have that small of a sample size.
Exactly. It doesn't encompass the whole.
Yeah.
Scorn is perfectly
Plus, those
good.
Bugs really open up design space. Even though they're new releases for the new book, supposedly, like, their character unit doesn't bring a whole lot more to the faction that was already there, but those bugs open up the design space immensely. Like, Xerxes 2 becomes a gun line. Who would have saw that shit?
Right. Yep. Zappity. Yep.
Grumble. What should I watch on Netflix next? TV shows only.
Did you already watch BoJack Horseman?
Yeah, it's...
That was
I'm talking to the person, not you.
Mine would be...
I'll wait for his response.
If you haven't seen Archer, I would try and give that a shot, because at least it's... First of all, you're hitting someone who's in the War Machine community, and then second of all, it's like an interesting show, and it's nice to be able to reference it every once in a while.
Archer's good. It's on Hulu right now, but I think it is on Netflix as well as The League. I think everyone should watch The League. It's... As much as people think that it's about fantasy football, it really has nothing to do about fantasy football. It's like watching Always Sunny, and they own a bar in Always Sunny. Mm-hmm. That's the bar is about as equivalent to Always Sunny as fantasy football is to The League. It's really about the characters and all the shenanigans that happens around them.
Breaking Bad is on Netflix currently.
I'm trying to think of
through the current list of the highest rated TV shows on Netflix.
I'm thinking of was it Coach? The one where it was like they were coaching a college football team or a professional football team, and it had nothing to do with that. That kind of fits into that same genre.
Yeah, basically it's their job. Mm-hmm. Somebody who I was talking to, maybe it was you.
Yeah, we brought up Taxi. They're taxi drivers, but that doesn't come up a whole lot during the show.
Correct. It's just an occupation that all of them have in common.
Yep, or Wings. Wings is a really good example.
Yep, yep. So, yeah, watch The League. I'm telling you, once... First season is kind of, again, it's like any other shows, it's kind of slow, but once it starts picking up, and honestly, once the character Rafi gets introduced, it is the best show in the world. Man, Rafi is so good. I should show you guys just a single episode of The League, and maybe it'll get you into it.
30 Rock is a show that is worth binge watching.
It is, yeah.
30 Rock is super good. And man, I gotta say, like, everybody jerks off about how much they love Ron Swanson in Parks and Recreation. He's a great character, whatever. But Jack Donaghy in 30 Rock, like Alec really Baldwin, that character is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, really good.
I like characters with that type of...
presence?
Yeah, that presence. Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. The captain has got, he has that presence. He has that deadpan, fucking awesome humor.
Bing Pot.
Yep.
Oh, he's so good.
Oh, season 3 is out on Hulu.
For
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yep.
That's something to hit up.
Yeah.
Zappity.
That's the last one, I think, right?
Grumble. That was it. Sweet action. We can call it quits.
No.
We got recommendations, and I want to try these fucking chips.
All right. Open the right end of it.
I will.
While you're doing that...
Oh, Psych. Somebody mentioned Psych is a good...
Psych is a good one. No, well, what I just found, I literally just... I agreed with this, but there's like hundreds of them on there, so it was too much. But I just Googled TV shows on Netflix.
I tried to open them like a regular bag of chips, but they went shitty on me.
So this website, digitaltrends.com, has a list of the best TV shows on Netflix. So they have it sorted by category, and they have like 20 entries per category. And everything, I scrolled through the drama page, and then the second page was comedies. And then they had a sci-fi, fantasy, and action mystery, a reality TV, Memory Lane, and Kids. And everything in the two pages I scrolled through was fucking amazing. So go to this digitaltrends.com, and they have a list of the best things on Netflix. They just updated it 2 days ago. So there's your stuff. Are these good?
Yeah, they're interesting, actually. I could actually sit down and eat a bunch of these.
These don't taste like beer cheese at all.
No. Not beer. Well, they're supposed to taste like beer, but they don't taste like that either. They just taste like a flavor of chip.
No, I can taste the beer.
A little bit, but I guess I just drink shitty beer, so.
No, I can't really taste the beer. It doesn't. It tastes like just a flavored chip.
I was hoping for more. It is a flavored chip. It's not a flavor I can put my nose on.
It has that little sourness at the beginning of it. You know, I know like you like the sea salt and vinegar chips. I do too, whatever. It has that little bit of acidity at the beginning that I think is the beer taste.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, if anybody out there is near Costco that's selling these fucking beer chips for $5 for a 2-pound bag, hit it up. It's pretty good.
I'm going to finish chewing, and I have a recommendation.
Swallow.
Right. So, Grindr, or The Grindr. I think it's just Grindr, which is a sitcom.
It's also an app.
That's not without the E. Yes, Grindr, the app. I recommend that, too, if you're a homosexual looking for casual sex. Or, you know what? Not to narrow it down. I don't care what your sexuality is. If you want to find a man to have sex with, Grindr is useful. You can be a straight man who just feels like having sex with a man.
Yeah, maybe just like, I won't try it.
I'll try it. Never know until you try it twice. That's what Jeremy always said. Anyway.
That's why he likes mojitos.
Mm-hmm. Tried them twice. Anyway. No, the sitcom with the Rob Lowe and the Wonder Years kid.
Wait, you're talking about a show that's on, is it on Fox?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Fox show that's a comedy that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. It's not like Dr. Ken? Come on, Dr. Ken looks amazing. Because they've shown the same fucking commercial over and over and over with the same stupid music in the background.
Yes.
The doctor.
Yes, they have.
As an aside, I feel like Once Upon a Time, the new season, episode 1, was really just a half-hour-long commercial.
Well, that's why like Blind Spot came out, and then the AV Club review for Blind Spot. Some of the moms were like, "Oh, I haven't heard of this show. They should have advertised it or something." It's like, yeah, no shit. God, so sick of seeing. I never thought I'd get sick of seeing that actress naked, and I was just sick of those fucking commercials.
I like The Blacklist when it's on a woman, because that's basically what that show is. It's The Blacklist.
But have you guys Grindr or just Too Much Dr. Ken? Do you know this?
No,
one?
No, I know Grindr. It's Rob Lowe with Fred Savage.
With Fred Savage. But what it is I actually watched it twice, the pilot episode, because I half watched it, because Raylene just put it on Hulu. She's like, I'm going to watch this. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to be terrible. So I ignored it, and I was playing on the internet, and then I was laughing at it, even catching it just out of the corner of my ear. Mm-hmm. So to make sure I wasn't completely wrong, I watched it again today. And it's funny. And Fred Savage's wife, I recognized her and I had to Google it. She's the waitress from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Fred
Savage's
wife
okay.
on that. But the premise of it is that Rob Lowe is basically Rob Lowe, superstar actor.
But he plays a lawyer.
He played a lawyer, like the dramatic, you know, Perry Mason style lawyer. And his show just ended. And he's moved back in with his brother. And his brother is an actual lawyer who hates his portrayal of lawyers, but now, of course, they work together to solve lawyery problems. And he does his flashy stuff, and everybody's like, yeah, none of that's admissible because you're not a lawyer. And then Fred Savage has to actually lawyer it in. Yep. So it's going to be formulaic. Every episode's going to just be the two of them. He does flashy, other guy does
it's
the
It's like
actual
a good cop,
work.
Bad cop thing.
Yeah, well, it's
but
like,
translated to lawyer yeah. jargon.
Well, like, there have been several. What was the move? The Eddie Murphy, De Niro one where like Eddie Murphy was an actor and De Niro was an actual cop, but they worked together to solve like a big crime. It was terrible. But the point is, it's like that. So it's not even good cop, bad cop. It's
good cop, bad cop.
Good cop, fake cop.
I thought you said good cock, bad cop.
Yeah, it's a good cop with a bad cock or a good cock on a bad cop. Which would you rather?
I think I'd take a good one, good cock on a bad cop.
Point is, the writing was super good. Clever, snappy, fun. Rob Lowe's amazing. Fred was good. Yeah, make it a t-shirt.
Just a shot of Brian's head. I think I'd like a good cock on a bad cop. Crippled system. Sorry, we're completely derailing.
Right. Oh, like I'm going to complain about this show getting derailed?
Yeah.
I just didn't want things to, you know, slip away from me here.
Oh. God damn it.
Your turn.
Fuck that. So I got really pissed off at Netflix for pulling off a lot of their really good foreign films. Mm-hmm. And if you can find it out there, the film Recycle is really good. It's a Korean film. The only thing I would say is that if you have issues with electively terminating a pregnancy, it probably wasn't something that you're going to want to watch if you have some like issues with that. But I would definitely say Recycle is a really good like artsy film. It's not gory. It's not like the ABCs of death level discomfort, but it's definitely like stylistically could make you a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a good movie to check out if you can find it somewhere.
I think I saw a trailer for it. Is it recent?
No, it's not recent. Okay, it's very old.
I thought I saw a trailer for something recently.
Early 2000s, maybe.
Did you see, speaking of Asian artsy kind of films on Netflix, I'm a Cyborg and That's Okay?
I had it in Android, not Cyborg?
Whichever, one
of them. I had it in my queue for a long time, but I hadn't seen it, no.
Yeah, it's good.
The Old Boy opened up my world before the Americanized version came out. The Revenge series was really good. I liked it a lot. And Recycle kind of came in with that, too, for me. So I think if you really like those stylized foreign or mostly Korean films, because they do things a lot differently than other genres, or not genres, but areas of filming do. Like if there's a film, if there's a country that's characterized by its film work or vice versa, then I would say like Korean films are really a good one for that. Korean horror films or Korean thrillers.
Sure.
It's a good one. Definitely try and find it and watch it.
I guess that's up to me now.
It is.
I don't really have anything. I already recommended The League. I mean, that was the main thing.
Yeah, but that was an answer to a question. That was recommended like 7 times on this show.
It has been.
Recommend letting someone build your lists for you so you can spark some creativity. Oh, you know what would be interesting is if you had, like, you set up a game with someone and had them build a list for you, and then you build their list, and then you play that shit. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, people talk about that all the time, and having, like, worst list competitions and stuff like that. List. But the issue always comes down to, what does it always come down to? It's just weird.
Well, there's a lot of things where, like, worse is, I think there's a Facebook group that kind of had a worst caster tournament, and it's, like, subjectively... You can't, like, trolls are a really good example. I cannot think of one caster who is terrible. For a while, it was Gunnbjorn, but the changes to the Gargantuan, or, like, Mountain King, and the introduction of the Glacier King really changed his game a lot. So I can honestly say there is no such thing as a bad troll caster. It does not exist.
Oh, you know what it was, actually? The ones that always fail was the ones who was, like, you design the worst list for your stuff, and they design the worst list for their stuff, and then you use each other's models.
Yeah.
And that falls apart because of the handling each other's models stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I do have a small recommendation then.
It's too late now.
Oh, well, fuck it.
No, fine.
No, go for it. That's called creative brainstorming.
My recommendation would be to watch The Fear of the Walking Dead.
I'm really apprehensive to anything Walking Dead, so I would watch... I'll watch an episode just for
did you. Are you current with The Walking Dead, or are you current. One of the folks that stopped during season two?
No, I stopped when I had an entire semester of The Walking Dead as a class. That's when I stopped.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I had a very unorthodox English professor in college.
Fuck them.
And we had an entire semester devoted to The Walking Dead comic book.
That's but not the show.
Not the show. The show came out just as we were in the middle of that.
Was excited about that, I'm sure.
She was a great professor. She did a lot of wonderful things, and she really opened up my mind to education, because before I hit college, I was just, you know, that drunken, tattooed piercer that would just go out and have fun, but then she made me think a little bit more and open up my mind.
You're still the drunken, tattooed piercer.
But I'm very much more open.
But, I don't know.
And analytical.
It's a different take on the show, because it takes place during the actual transition from normal society to when society falls apart. You get to basically watch stages of that. Unlike The Walking Dead, where you got to see the very beginning of that.
And then way after.
And then way after, Rick wakes up from the coma, and then you see the aftermath. And that blank filling is kind of interesting, because you know more than what all the characters know. Mm-hmm. Like, well, one of the big things, I'm going to spoil it, I don't care.
Spoilers, they're zombies.
No, well, the fact that everybody in the world is already infected.
Right, they're already infected. That's not how it works. Yeah.
It's not like that you get bit and they transmit it to you. No, you get bit and it just works quicker.
Well, it's not even that. It's two when unrelated you die. Things. Dying turns you into a zombie. Mm-hmm. Full stop. That is a fact.
Yep.
Their death is disease-ridden and will cause death. Mm-hmm. But that's no different than being bit by a Komodo dragon. You know, nothing about a zombie's bite that's a direct makes you into a zombie.
Interesting fact about Komodo dragons. They could kill themselves due to, like, some type of poisoning, because they can't digest their food easily. So what they have to do is sit in the sun and let it rot to the point where it's a little bit more digestible for their system. So if they sit out in the sun too long, they actually die because their food poisons them. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. All right, we should probably call it. We're running over two.
What?
We're running over 2 hours.
Oh, well, then we should call it.
That's a Musecast.
Yeah, it's their second in a row.
Man.
Yep. All right. Zappity grumble up.
Bye.
Thank you.
Gary Busey.
Busey.